Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
December 15th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. And Eric isn't with us right now, but he'll be on later. As previously promised, we will have Rory Little Mondo on tonight and be with him in just a second. But, you know, later on in the show, we're going to do our NFL thing. We're going to go over our own version of the Slammies and do our own CZW Slammies and everything else like that. But, you know, without further ado, let me just bring my guest on right now. Welcome to the show, Rory Little Mondo.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. This is J-Cat I'm speaking to, correct?
Absolutely.
Hey, what's going on? How you feeling?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. First off, I'd like to, apologize for missing the show before KZF13. It was an important day for me. As you could tell, I had a pretty big matchup, and I had to prepare for it, so it slipped out of my hands. So I do apologize, and I appreciate you for having me on the show tonight.
It's not a problem. Well, you know, obviously that was a big, big thing, and we'll get to that later and stuff, but I figure, I mean, I've known you for, man, I don't even know how many years at this point.
A long time.
Started going to CZW back in 01, and I met you back then. What was your first show actually going to CZW?
CZW's first show, I believe, was Tables, Ladders, and Violence. Well, I think it was Nick Gage and maybe, I'm pretty sure it was Nick Mondo in a ladder match, if I recall correctly. And I was just a little guy then, but that was my first show from what I remember.
And that was back in 01 show, right?
Yes, 01. And it was quite an experience. I do remember myself. I remember going to the show. I've seen WWE events or WWF at the time and, watched them. So I had no idea what to expect. I was actually brought with somebody else, and I'm sitting there, front row, and the moment I remember the most is Danny Rose actually leaning over to me in the front row saying, "Hey, asshole, get out of the way." And next thing I know, I think it was Danny Rose and maybe somebody else flying through the chair right that I was sitting in, and they shattered it, and I'm like, holy shit, this is real. This is it right here.
Yeah, definitely. What actually led you to get into CZW,
As you know, You know, my name is Roy Little Mondo, and back in the day, I was, you know, sitting in the crowd with yourself, actually, JK. I do remember, you know, hanging out at shows and saying what's up to you guys. You guys always been in the same spot since as long as I can remember, which is awesome. And I remember, you know, if you remember, I do, you know, I dressed up like Sick Nick Mondo. I was big inspiration for me. You know, he's the reason why I'm in professional wrestling. And, you know, as a fan sitting there, I was invited one day. You know, I was helping out. I used to go to the shows afterwards, stay late, set the ring away, help out, whatever I could do. You know, I loved it. And I was invited down to the CZW Academy one time. And from there on, you know, things just moved on.
Cool. Back then,
okay,
I mean, you know.
Can you hear me clear enough?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good. You're a little quiet. I don't know if you got a volume thing over there, but, I mean, otherwise it's perfectly clear. Just a little quiet.
Sure, I'll speak up a little bit. There we go.
All right, cool. But, yeah, I mean, back then it was just definitely, you know, groundbreaking time for CZW. A lot of people didn't know about it. You know, it had really a, you know, an underground feel to it at the time. So it was definitely cool to experience. And, yeah, I know yourself, you're, you know, gimmicked up in the Mondo stuff. And, you know, I remember Mondo putting you on his shoulders and the whole thing. And, you know, that was a long, long time ago, so. That was good stuff. But speaking of Nick Mondo, what were some of the things, you know, that he did out there that made you so drawn to Nick Mondo?
You know, I think like most people, you know, who watch CZW, Nick Mondo was probably one of the, you know, most standout characters that they've seen. And it wasn't because he was the, you know, he's not the greatest wrestler of all time. He wasn't, you know, the best technician. But the stuff he did, the emotion he showed, you know, this guy was the real deal. You know, you looked at him, and you just wanted to, you know, that is it. It was like looking at Batman, looking at Spider-Man. You just wanted to be that guy. You know, he had that belief. You know, he made you feel what he felt, what he went through, and just the image. And it's just, it was almost, like I said before, you know, like a Batman feel, like a kid wants to be Batman. That's
that
feeling that he kind of personified.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he did have a short run in CZW. He had quite a few memorable moments within that time. You know, what would you say, I don't know, top three, top five, in no particular order, unless, you know, something really did stand out, were your favorite matches of Nick Mondo?
Top three, top five favorite matches of Nick Mondo. You know, one that always comes to my mind, and I think a lot of people agree with me, is from a higher level of pain. We had Justice Payne, Sixth Mondo main event. There wasn't really no stipulation to the match, but it evaluated and escalated into more and more stuff as the match went on. Just a brutal contest. One of the things that stands out in my mind, that would probably be, I guess maybe number one, maybe up there right there, is one of the top matches. And then moving on, you got other such memories as, you know, him, J.C. Bailey, ladders match. Tournament of Death right there.
First round, yeah.
Understand that thing because it's a big time with CZW, IWA feuding, and CZW, you know, the guy was Nick Mondo, IWA kind of similar guy, you know, very similar, J.C. Bailey going at it. It was a big match, and I remember that match being one of my favorites. Also, we got, you know, countless tag matches with Trent Acid, you know, the late Trent Acid, great Trent Acid, with the Fast Beat Boys, Johnny Casimir, him and Rick Blade, just putting on some of the best tag team action you've ever seen. You know, incorporating mixture of hardcore and those encounters would definitely be up there. And, you know, of course, you got the John Zay and Sick Nick Mondo from this Tournament of Death fatality almost off Sick Nick Mondo going off the roof of a building. You know, it's engraved in everyone's mind. So
crazy stuff. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there were a lot of different things. Like you said, the tag team matches they had with the back seats and, you know, I think it was Cage of Death 4 when they had that TLC tag team match.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, tag team match, and that was probably...
That was great stuff.
Yeah, you'd see these guys going out there and just really just destroying their bodies and, you know, certain things that they were trying to do. I remember double moonsault onto ladders. Nothing broke, and these guys just got back up and just kept going at it. You know, really showed the heart in the match that you need to have.
Yeah, it was great stuff. Did you think that, you know, his CZW career would be as short as it was?
You know, going on the way it did, I think it was kind of inevitable. And, you know, he knew that himself. That's inevitable what was going to happen. I mean, you do so much to your body, you know, you can't really understand the amount of pain that your body takes until you've gone through something like that. And, you know, I've had a short start in the deathmatch career already, and I can only imagine how his body must have felt towards the end of his career with it. You know, I think it was only 3 or 4 years long.
Right.
The amount of pain he was in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm sure it's got to add up before you actually realize what it's doing to you. You know, I guess living in the moment for that period of time, I mean, you guys do it out there. I don't, but probably just it doesn't feel the same way it does until it adds up, right?
That's it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, in that moment, you're fighting, and you're not really taking into consideration the amount of damage you're actually doing to your body during that match.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, a minute after the thing, whatever the, you know, incident might have been, or, you know, a week later, even months later, you can feel the damage effects of it, like the aftershock of what you went through.
Now, when was it that you actually first started training and all of that?
I'd say, I've been training off and on since about 2004, when I was, very young. You know, that's almost an abnormal age to get into the wrestling business. The average age would be about 18, of course, because of adult, you know, parental permissions that you need to be in there. And, you know, it's something I really wanted to do. And I got
right.
in, and, you know, I had a waiver signed. I had to sign, my parents had to sign off on everything. And, you know, it's something I was like, you know, screw it. I want to do this. And, man, I, at the time, probably had no idea, you know, what would come, what would expect, and, you know, what would go into. But, yeah, off and on since about August of 2004.
Now, as a kid who was, out there idolizing a guy who was taking a weed whacker to the stomach, were your parents aware of what you were actually looking to do?
Yes, they were aware of CZW. I don't know if they ever quite understood how violent it was. I'm sure they did, you know, they probably thought I was crazy if they wanted to even, you know, attempt to do something as such as pro wrestling. But, I think most kids, you know, I would say at some point in their life want to be a pro wrestler, want to be something like that. And there's a handful of people that actually do take that challenge up of becoming a professional wrestler. And, you know, it's something I wanted to do. And the parents, my parents were aware of the violence. And CZW was a little over the top. But I think at the time I was assuring them, you know, I won't do anything too crazy. I promise I won't do any this stuff. And, you know, I think, to be honest, still to this day, my parents don't understand exactly what I've gone through CZW.
Yeah, that's cool to, you know, they put their trust in you and all that stuff, because, I mean, you know, as a parent, you do, you know, you end up signing quite a few permission slips for just, you know, field trips.
And,
this isn't the easiest slip to sign, you know, comes down to letting your kid go out there and do something.
That's it, yeah. So they knew it was something I wanted to do, and, I was committed, and, you know, I had a great group of people to fall into the company, and they helped me, ensure that trust was going to go taken care of.
Right. Back in 2004, when you did start training and all that, who were some of the people you were training with and trained by?
It was, in 2004, it was right then and there. I guess DJ Hyde was still, you know, the head trainer back then even. I was actually one of the last people to be inducted, I guess, into the academy. You know, you have to try out. Obviously, it's not for everyone to, you know, you have to go through a tryout, physical test, everything that you have to do to, you know, to just stay there, to be able to train in something like that. It was actually John Zabig. And when I came in there, you know, you're looking at this man who's, you know, not only the owner, one of the, I would say toughest individuals on the face of the earth, and I'm just this scrawny little 14-year-old kid, you know, walking in there thinking, you know, I'm going to do this. And, you know, I remember him telling me to get in the ring and do some of the stuff we did, and it was just, like, a complete shock to me. I was completely, you know, everything. And so at the time, it was John Zadig still there, and right afterward, he, DJ High took over full-time, right around the same time. And also the trainers, Joker. Joker was one of the main trainers, but he was on leave of tour off and on throughout that time. And also Black G's was there as well. So those are the main trainers that were there at the time.
Okay. Who were some of the other students that you were coming up with at the time?
some of the other students, I remember quite back then, only a handful of them are still around, but most notably the person who's still there, I'm kind of a long-term rival myself, was Drew Gulak. He was starting around the same time as me. He had his former tag team partner, Andy Sumner, was starting around then. And you also had a guy, whose name is Ace Delic, also wrestling under the name is Ravage. He was in there. Shout out to Ace. Ace is an awesome person. I hope he comes back one day if he's listening to this. Also, you had people, trying to think who else was around the same class wrestling than me. And, this wasn't, my graduation class or the class I completed with. This just some of the guys everyday training. You also had guys like Jude, Rick Feinberg, Corey Castle was there. Niles Young was, at the school at the time.
Right.
Wrestling then. All the, so it was almost like the mainstay young undercard guys, younger guys, hungry guys coming up in the wrestling world. And we were kind of the new group coming in there at that time in 2004.
Yeah, and then, through the years, you trained, and what was actually your first in-ring match?
My first in-ring match was June of 2008. I was actually had to wait till I was 18 years old. That's the PA law. I don't know if you're familiar with the Briscoe brothers, but, they had a little incident where they were underage and had to go through everything, and I forget exactly what the details were with that, but I had to wait till I was 18 years old, and I debuted at CZW Summer School against Drew Gulak, who's also a co-trainee.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see out there. I do remember that. And, I remember the Briscoe thing. They had to wrestle under masks when they came over from Jersey to Philly. And I think they were like the Midnight something or other.
Maybe Outlaws, or I think it was, or something like
that. Yeah. Yep. So, where did more or less your career go from there? I mean, you had a few matches on and off. You were kind of disappeared for a little while. What was going on through that amount of time?
Throughout the time, actually right before I was, leaving, right before, right after I debuted, I was scheduled to leave for Marine Corps boot camp. And I was scheduled to go to, and I had everything signed away. Maybe about 2 weeks after I had my debut match, I'm ready to leave. I had a change of plans, decided to stay. I had some accomplishments that I wanted to do before if I was going to pursue something like that. And, that was a decision I had to make. So I decided not to go to off to Marine boot camp. And from there, I debuted, and I wanted to keep training with CZW. I decided to stick with it. And I was, this is going to be something I wanted to do. You got to put a lot of time into it. As well as, something else that's on the side, one of my personal loves is, amateur wrestling, collegiate style wrestling, which, traditionally found in school clubs. And I was on the team there. I was the senior captain at Northeast High School in Philadelphia. And afterward, I just wanted to stick around and do my part. I felt like I could, be a decent leader and help her out. And we actually led the team to a championship, high school championship. So all while I was training for professional wrestling, for combat zone wrestling, I was with Northeast High School wrestling as well. So that was one of the accomplishments I wanted to do. And as well as, I decided to attend college myself, give that a shot. And I attended Community College in Philadelphia for 2 years, where I got my degree in criminal justice.
Cool. So when was it that you decided to actually, come back and, get full-time, back into CZW at least?
Yeah, it was off and on. I was, making show appearances, almost if they had a spot for me, or if I was, if something came up, I would, be on it. And then kind of decided to take some time off to focus more on the collegiate-style wrestling coaching. I was getting, pretty into that. And then one day, I decided, if I'm going to make this work, one of the main things that wasn't done when I was debuted is I kind of strayed away from hardcore and the ultra violence scene, and that was what Nick Mondo was known for. So
right. You
got the CZW fans and everyone wondering, how are you going to emulate a character or sick Nick Mondo, become him as your protege, and you don't do what he actually did. So I decided that if I was going to make my return, this is it. I'm going to I'm gonna go all out and I'm gonna, you know, give it a try, give it, you know, go for a run in deathmatch wrestling. It's not just something that you can, you know, one day I'm gonna, you know, go decide to, you know, possibly in a barbed wire match or possibly in a light tube match, you know. There's
right.
a story behind it, actually. You know, I'll tell it straight up. I decided I haven't been at the school in a little while. I went down there. DJ Hyde was sitting there, you know, at the CZW official desk or wherever he was at. And I walked right in there. You know, I walked straight up to him, and I literally, dead serious, told him. I said, hey, you know, I want to make my return. You know, I want to be in a tournament of death, just like that. Point blank, I said, you know, if I'm going to make an impact and make another run, I need to, you know, show that I'm fearless now and I'm not afraid to do this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a brave move, but as you said, I mean, that's something that went through the minds of all CZW fans, you know, because, you know, he was known for taking ridiculous bumps and just being very ultra-violent and, you know, he had his lighter matches, but in the same token, what he was truly known for was something you weren't doing at the time. And I always thought from the start it was either something that was going to be a phase where you broke into another gimmick, or, I mean, really only other two options is either a comedy gimmick where you more or less played off of the fact of he was the opposite of what you were doing and that type of thing, or you went in just as hard as he did and you know, showed and proved that that's exactly what you were about. So that's obviously the hardest route that you could have taken there is, you know, following his footsteps. But he did just that.
Definitely. I know Nick personally, and I talked to him about it. He actually tried to persuade me not to do it. You know, he didn't want to see me go through what he went through. And I said, you know, this is, you know, something you did. You know, I wasn't technically saying it's his fault and everything, but, you know, this is something I wanted to get into. And, you know, I decided that if I was going to make my return, that is the route I was going to take.
Yeah. So what was your first actual death match?
When I told DJ I wanted to be in Tournament of Death, and he said, you know, you want to be in Tournament of Death? Well, you know, you got to prove yourself to step in there. And that's when I ended up having to wrestle DJ Hyde back recently this year, about not even 6 months ago. He was
right.
back in June at Prelude to Violence. Me and him went out there and wasn't labeled as a death match, but DJ wanted to bring some surprises out there, and he wanted to test me. And, you know, we got some glass out there, sheets of glass. We had thumbtacks. We had chairs, you know. Pretty sure when you go into thumbtacks and sheets of glass, it kind of brings it up to another level.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you pretty much went right off of that to working with, I think, Matt Tremont, right?
Yeah, it was before the Matt Tremont, I was actually at a Tournament of Death with Devin Moore. I was
his
partner that he brought in. And the tag team match, and, you know, we're at Tournament of Death, biggest hardcore show of the year, you know, aside from Cage of Death, which is, you know, just the cage match is the symbol of the show. What Tournament of Death is known for, every match is ultra-violent in some way, some form. You know, to emulate the tipping Mondo, I decided that, you know, if we're going to do this thing, I'm going to try to go off the truck some way or another. You know, if I got to throw somebody off there, I'm going to do it. Or if I'm jumping off there, I'm going to do it. And, you know, that's what I decided to do. And unfortunately, it didn't go for the way I planned. And as you saw, I went through a table crashing down.
Yeah. And it pretty much went from that. You did that spot that actually stood out to a lot of people. You know, from what I heard, that was a, you know, big eye opener and stuff to, you know, people who were, you know, keeping an eye on the tournament and everything else. Yeah, after that, you got into the program of Matt Tremont. And,
that's when, you know, Matt Tremont is actually, you know, it almost happened, I would say, the same night that I broke into deathmatch wrestling. Yeah, this guy, Matt Tremont, who was virtually unknown from CZW World except for online, he competed, I think, in IWA Deep South, did the match up there, had a, you know, a small following coming into CZW. And when he came, I guess we would have the same ideas coming into CZW, that he's going to, you know, be taking over deathmatch wrestling and coming in. And he came in there, I think, you know, he had a little more fair of a match with Pinky Sanchez, where I had DJ Hyde going out there.
Right.
And, as you can see, and, you know, he broke out and we were going for the same thing. And that's where we pretty much ended up getting pit against us. put against us and see where it went from there.
What's your feelings on Matt Tremont?
You know, Matt Tremont, what's there to say? I mean, this is a guy who comes in there and, you know, I get put against him. I got two matches against him. One match, he throws me off the ring apron, powerbombs me to the floor, actually get knocked out. And then in the second match, I got to go rematch, and I wanted to get some revenge. And they put us against an Ultra Crown Tables match. I think DJ was intervening in all this, this business going on. And we got into the Ultra Crown Tables match, and here's this guy, he's clearly twice my size. I think technique wise, I might have an advantage of him, but his strength and power overcame it and showed that this guy, is going to try to bulldoze through everybody. And all respect to given, he did finish the match again twice in a row where he came out on top. So Matt Tremont, still has a lot to learn, and I have a lot to learn, and this Deathmatch Trial Series is almost maybe something that we wanted. We agreed to this. We're going to step into this, and this is what we want. Eventually, whatever happens down the road happens, and this is where it's going to go.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on working the IWA Mid-South King of the Deathmatch tournament?
When I was received an invite to IWA King of the Deathmatches, right off the bat, I was honored to be out there. This is a former tournament that also Sick Nick Mondo competed in back in the days of IWA early days. I shouldn't say too much early days. They've been around for a little while and had an established tournament. And, it's something I thought this was a great opportunity. Matt Tremont was going to be there as well. So, I took into consideration, it could be him, I'm opponents, or, a long list of guys that are just some of the top deathmatch wrestlers around the world or in this tournament.
Yeah. A guy that ended up having a really, really big standout match in the first round, you ended up meeting in the second round in Simon Says. What was your feelings on that? I mean, did you see the first round match that he had?
Yes, I did get to catch a glimpse of it. Pretty brutal match. I think it's Damian Payne's maybe first death match. That's why they called it the Poppy Cherry death match. And I had light tubes, Simon being pretty familiar with the hardcore scene, a good friend training of Casey Bailey. Someone I figured it was a good matchup. He's somebody about my size. I got a lot to go in there, and it was almost like a JC Bailey, Sick Nick Mondo type feel to the match, where I think the match actually finished. He was able to, throw me off the top rope into a box, like a casket, filled with whatever was filled in there. I don't remember. I think some salt, light tubes, chairs just thrown in there, and he actually finished the match with Tracy Bailey double stop on top of me, and get up the W. So it was a corny experience being out there, whole different league to be in and competing for. So whenever you travel like that, it's just a great learning experience and a way to pick up a name for yourself to go out there.
Yeah, it was definitely crazy stuff. I don't know if I've seen a guy completely neck wrapped like that, because the amount of color he had on that first match was ridiculous. And
I do remember being in the back when he came in the back, and he had blood squirting literally out of his neck. And they had the aphthalitis. I don't know if they pulled it out of his neck, and that's what caused it to squirt out, or what it was. But I do remember that. This dude obviously does not care about his body. This is just somebody that, if I'm going against, I better go all out as well.
Yeah, it was crazy shit for sure. Well, I mean, definitely, one of the gotta be the biggest point in your career at this point. You got to go to Japan. How did that whole experience come about? What was that like?
Big Japan Pro Wrestling, it's a dream come true to be able to do something like that. So early in my career of actually wrestling shows, it's not something that's generally attained by somebody who's only been wrestling for, a few years, or, 1 or 2 years that I've actually been on the shows and competing. And like I said, you know, tournament of death, that, you know, the eyes are on the world's on watching that show. This is it. This is the top deathmatch guys in the world at this show. And, you know, I wasn't in the tournament, but I wanted to stand out. I wanted to, you know, show that I could have been in this tournament, unfortunately, for the loss to DJ Hyde, which prevented me. You know, but I wanted to show that I could be there. And I knew that, you know, I didn't know specifically that would come about exactly at the time. But I knew that, you know, there's big Japan guys there wrestling at Jackie Numazawa and Masashi Takeda wrestling in the tournament as well. And, you know, maybe they noticed me watching. They saw it, and, you know, I was in the tag league. Big Japan would have its tag league come up at a few months later, and they actually requested myself. And, you know, which later would also be Devin Moore requested as a tag team partner to compete in the tag team tag league, World Tag League, which is what they held for several months. So that's the only assumption I have relation. I mean, otherwise, you know, to be chosen, you know, to go over there or something that prestigious, you know.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, when you talk tag league and you talk something like that, you know, something like that's going to involve like a tremendous amount of talent. Who are some of the guys that you had to get in there? It's such a, you know, young part of your deathmatch career, so to speak. Who are some of those guys that you actually jumped right in there in their home, on their home court, more or less?
You know, to go to be, you know, over Japan again, it's a huge honor. And, you know, I'm this American guy, this young American guy coming up, and, you know, I knew my head was you know, a target immediately right there. You know, luckily I have Devin Moore, world champion at the time, with me in my corner to help guide me throughout the matches, you know, keep me going. It was quite an experience. You know, I'll never forget it. It was a life-changing experience. It was something that I was so fortunate to learn from. And when you're going out there and you got these guys, you know, they've been wrestling for so many years, and, you know, this is, you know, like you said, it's their home court. You know, I'm going into this place, and, you know, I got to be ready for a battle. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to get my head taken off. And it was, you know, I think by the end of the tour that I was over there, I ended up competing against almost every wrestler on the BJW roster, as well as competing against other people from other companies in Japan, promotions in Japan.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got in there with the best of Japan, the Jun Gasais, you know, Sasaki's, all these guys. Like, this is pretty much like the gauntlet that you had to run over there, right?
That's it, yeah. I think almost every member was in the tag league in some form. The main members of it, you know, there was Jun Gasai, Jackie Numazawa. You had the Brahmin brothers. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, the twins. They were in it. You had Okobayashi and Daisuke Sekimoto. You have, you had Ryuji Ito and, you know, CZW's Ultrasound Champion was over there as well as a tag team, which I think that, you know, that tag formed when they were in the Triangle of Violence over in Europe, which is maybe a couple weeks before I was actually scheduled to leave. That came about, that tag team, where they were over there. And then, just some other great names. You had Shindo and Yoshihito Sasaki over there. You had Sasaki Takashi and I think it was Masato was his name. And I don't think if there's any other tag teams that were really over there. It was a huge tournament to be in. And it wasn't just a single elimination. It was every night. Also, from WXW had the WXW Tag Team Champions, Tommy End and Michael Dante in there as well, which is, you know, from Europe. And it was just a huge mix of names in there competing.
Yeah, that had to be unbelievable to be around and, you know, be a big part of. Now, over there, you know, apparently some things happened and whatever the case is. And this is kind of what led to your Cage of Death match with Drake Younger. Apparently some things happened over there. Drake caught some feelings towards some things that he heard, some things that whatever the case was. What is your side of the story of what actually happened in Japan?
Being over there, you are with the, you know, their land of the rising sun, and they're based off of respect. That's what their professional wrestling is, respect. And it's completely honoring to be over there. And sometimes when you're in America, it's a little different. It's not as, I don't want to say uptight, but you know, it's you gotta always be on alert when you're over there. And
right.
You know, I, being inexperienced, I wasn't adjusted to that. You know, I wasn't prepared for exactly what was going on over there. And when I was over there, you know, exactly, I will probably never know exactly what happened. But there was you know, small issues that came about, and it led back to me, you know, came back to the CZW talent as me, you know, being disrespectful over there, which, you know, if that's the way it came about, I had the utmost respect for everyone over there, no intention of ever being disrespectful, and, you know, I'm completely honored to be over there and to be able to compete with those guys. And Drake got word of this when I came back, and when he found out, you know, immediately once he, you know, this is Drake Younger, the CZW, one of the CZW top guys, you know, one of the leaders, CZW the general, you know, as he would call himself in some fashion. And
right.
You know, he took it upon himself immediately when he came back to our handle the situation.
Right. And, you know, and I don't know what went on or anything like that. I'm no different than any other fan that just hears things through whatever grapevine. But, I mean, to address what was actually said, the story that was put out was they wanted you to do a balcony spot on a certain show somewhere over there, and then you said something along the lines of, there's no TV cameras here, I'm not doing that tonight. That's the story that's been put out there to people, and again, I don't know what's what. I've never been to Japan, probably never will be in my life, but I mean, what would you respond to in that, you know, and because no one's heard your side of that.
You know, to say I won't do a balcony spot, to say I won't, you know, take a light tube, to say I won't enter into a shark tank, you know, it's completely absurd because, you know, I'd happily hop in there and compete in whatever fashion I had to compete in. You know, that was not the case. And the case was more or less, like I said before, as in it was a different area. And if you say something, it's going to be taken a different way than what it would be as in, you know, meant over here. So in combat zone wrestling, if I say one thing, or if I say the same thing, which means, you know, absolutely nothing over here, simply a joke or maybe just a small little, you know, unintentional say over here.
Right.
Whereas over there, you have to, you know, watch every word that you say. And, you know, maybe something that was said over there was misunderstood and misinterpreted and took very seriously. You know, and that's, if that word came about, then that's the only thing I could imagine could have sparked that. But, you know,
right.
As you know, you've seen before, you know, flipping off the trucks, jumping off the trucks, doing whatever I have to do to, you know, prove myself in this deathmatch trial series, I'm willing to do. And,
sure.
You know, something over there. So that's the only basic idea I could have of that situation.
No, that's understandable. Well, I mean, coming off of that, it set up this, you know, epic match with Drake, and Drake had a lot of things to say about it on the internet and on the promos and all of that stuff, and the match was led up, and, you know, everything was said that Drake was, he was going to put it on you and everything like that, and, you know, you stepped up to the plate, and honestly, I not that I think you're a guy to run away or anything like that, but I think most people would have got the fuck out of there when they heard, but, you know, as heated as Drake was, and you know, what everything was planned, and I mean, you stepped right up to the plate, and, you know, talk about that match a little bit, man.
You know, I'll be straight up, fact is fact, you know, when I came back, Drake did post that, whatever he said, whatever word was going around, you know, and that's something I took to heart, you know, because that's something I, you know, track back to Japan, that this is an honor for me to be over there, you know, compete, not only to represent CCW, but to be over there and learn from the guys, you know, over there. And every match that I was in, whether it was a hardcore match, an ultraviolet match, a regular match, you know, any match that I was in, I was able to pick something up. So when I came
right.
back, I had, you know, training over there, everything I learned is, you can't imagine, you can't fathom what went on, like, and the amount of training that you could pick up in just a couple moments of being in Japan. And
right.
when I came back and Drake posted all this stuff, I took it very, you know, to heart. And, you know, I didn't have that intention. And for him to come outlandish, you know, I mean, lashing out at me like that, you know, it's something I took very personally. And, you know, whatever people say about, you know, it was the business being a work or anything, that was very much real. You know, that match with me and Drake, that was our hearts going into that match and, you know, how we felt. That was it.
Right.
You know, that is you know, I'm going to do this match. I'm going to step up, and, you know, I'm not going to let anybody run their mouth at me like that, you know, whether I was right or wrong. And, you know, it was an issue about respect, you know, and I wanted to show Drake that I am a respectful person, and that I love this company, and that Drake Younger, you know, I had the most respect for him, you know, out of almost anybody at CEW, respect for him. And this match came about, and, you know, it's something that had to be done.
Yeah, the match started out fucking hot and heavy. I mean, he pretty much got in the ring, got thrown over the top rope into a barbed wire board. You know, one of the spots that everybody is talking about, one of the standout spots on the entire card of Cage of Death, my friend Stan, who I just turned on to CCW, this was his first show, and he said that this actually stole the show, this match. And the powerbomb on the garbage can, standing up. I mean, how did that feel on your end, man? Everybody in the crowd cringed, and you had to take it. So, shit.
You know, flashback to me and Matt Tremont going for a Rana, both times off the top rope. Guys bigger than me was able to overpowerbomb me. You know, Tremont powerbombed me through two tables. I don't know if Drake was watching. You know, Drake's a very experienced wrestler. He called him the Myrana going up there and, you know, go through that trash can. You know, first thing that went through my mind is am I walking? You know, am I moving now? That's the way, you know, trash cans are designed on the bottom is not to be bent. You know,
right.
And a crappy human body halfway over it, you know, off the top rope nonetheless from a powerbomb, which is probably one of the most forceful moves in the professional wrestling. Just went through my mind that, you know, am I paralyzed? Is my you know, everything working down there? That's probably the first thing that went through my mind. And just to, you know, recollect, and as we talked about before, is, you know, whatever happened to the match, you got to be able to move on from that. And, you know, to be able to stand up from that, you know, I'm very thankful. And be able to keep moving on like that in the match like I did, that was a truly a blessing.
Yeah, tremendous shit, man, to just be able to, you know, take that and move on. And you know, honestly, it's a credit to your profession when, you know, it comes down to it. I mean, you see a lot of kids, you know, running around the backyard falling on their fucking, you know, lawn ornaments and stuff. And, you know, they end up with severe, you know, injuries and stuff like that. And they don't continue careers. When you guys are actually able to do something that makes the whole crowd cringe, you know, as grown men, and just go, holy shit. And you not only finish the match, you know, you're there the next month and the month after, and you continue to just, you know, push on because you did it the right way. And that's a big credit to you, you know?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, you know, the touch on that a little more is, you know, your backyarders who you know, everyone, you know, at some time in their life plays around, you know, fights in the backyard, wants to be a pro wrestler. Like I said before, some people actually do it and some don't. And, you know, when you're part of that thing of becoming a professional wrestler is, you know, you actually got to learn how to take these moves. You know,
yeah.
You know, I get caught in a powerbomb, especially at the top rope, I better, you know, be ready to take this the best I can. If I try to fight this, you know, that could be my life right there. So it's almost in a way, you're just going to want to go with the move, and you got to say, fuck it, and, you know, hope for the best from it, and pray that you learn how to brace yourself as best as possible. And, you know, for something like that, it can go 50-50. I could have, you know, been paralyzed in that ring for the rest of my life. Or, you know, fortunately, like I said before, I'm very blessed to be able to, you know, very, very lucky to get up from something like that.
Now, I mean, would you call that the best match of your career? I mean, I haven't seen the things that you've done in Japan, but
the best, offensively, you can't call that the best match of my career. You know, Drake said he's going to take it to me, and little did I know what exactly was going to happen to my body that night. You know, I was ready yet. You know, if he's going to take it to me, I'm going to fight. You know, I did
right.
get some fight in there. And I was able to pull off some moves and maneuvers. And, you know, Drake was, you know, point blank. He did what he said he was going to do. He was going to take it to me. And as far as the way the match turned out, the reaction from the crowds, I guess you could, you know, that was the biggest match I've ever been involved in on the biggest
right.
show of the year. You know, which turns out it actually, you know, almost was the last show ever in the ECW arena, which is known for, you know, its violence, its everything. And to be on that
right.
caliber match, I would say, you know, based on the situation, based on everything that went through, you know, Drake put me through the match of my career, I will say.
Right. Well, I mean, something, you know, I got to say to that, that, you know, yeah, your offense wasn't, you know, the most featured thing in the bout, but I, you know, I think you got to realize, you know, I'm sure you do, but a guy like the Necro Butcher has gotten the most of his reputation for taking the amount of abuse he has. Of course, he has quite the offense as well, but I mean, the things that that guy has taken has made the Necro Butcher what he is, and you know, it stands for a lot of guys within that genre. So it says a lot for you.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, with that, you know, for me being able to withstand that kind of punishment, you know, and you know, the whole match was based off of respect for each other. You know what goes down, and you know, at the end of the match, you know, Drake, he showed a lighter side to him. You know, showed that maybe everything's gonna be okay. You know, he shook my hand after the match. Things seem to be settled down, a little calmer between us. And you know, I'm very grateful for the match and the opportunity that I had to step in the ring to be able to show something. Like, you know, without that match ever happening, you know, without the incident in Japan ever happening, you know, I could never you know, I've had that opportunity. So I'm very grateful for that. And thankful.
Excellent. Well, I mean, what's next for you? What's your plan from here on out to do, you know, in the wrestling business? What are you looking to go to?
You know, whether or not that was the end of the deathmatch trials, I think it might be far from over. From what I understand, you know, it's still based down to me and Matt Tremont. It kind of, you know, although I, you know, like I said before, I lost that match. That actually, in a way, of you saying, you know, taking a beating like that can show some light, and you know, it might have helped me more than I could ever imagine into the future of my deathmatch trials, and you know, give me the experience to be in there with Drake Tongu and to learn from that match, because you know, when there's a draw, every match that you're in, you learn from, and that match, you know, I was able to take so much off of it. So now, you know, I'm much more confident in the deathmatch trial series that me and Matt Tremont are still competing in. And I know he's got a match with Drew Gulak, you know, I believe it's in January. Is it January?
Yep.
January, Drew Gulak will be going against Matt Tremont, and the interference with them and Danny Havoc's match, and, you know, all, you know, whatever happens, you know. It's going to come full circle one day, you know. Hopefully I'll get my chance to get back at him and see where it goes from here. You know, just take it one step at a time and train as hard as I can and learn as much as I can until then.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you watch the TV product at all?
I've not been able to watch it, you know, due to the amount of time that I put into training and, you know, from going to high school wrestling straight to pro wrestling to, you know, my regular job where I got to earn some money to be able to do all this stuff and, you know,
okay.
all full circle, and I actually don't have time to watch it.
Well, even as far back as, you know, a child, was there, you know, the wrestling that you got into before you, you know, discovered CZW and that type of stuff, what actually got you into wrestling as a whole?
I remember, you know, watching it Monday Night Raw way back in the day with, you know, you got the Undertaker on there who would sacrifice people. That was probably one of my favorite moments in WWF history at the time. You know, you're watching
the Acolyte.
Man, but, yeah, that's it. The ministry.
Ministry.
The corporate ministry. That, you know, that time, that was, that's really, you know, I'm a kid and I'm watching this stuff, and it's just amazing that this is going on right now. Not so much that people are dying and being sacrificed, but
right.
To watch these stars on TV and what they're doing.
Now, well, I mean, it's coming up, speaking of Undertaker, it's coming up on the, pretty much, it's going to be his 20th WrestleMania. He's 19-0. Who would you think he's going to face as his last WrestleMania out there?
Is the 20th supposed to be his last WrestleMania?
Well, all speculation is this will be his last WrestleMania. He's gone 19-0. He beat Triple H in the last WrestleMania, and he hasn't come back since. And it's very well known he has a lot of injuries, and, you know, he's up in age, and he was kind of stretching his career to get to the point where he could just do 20, and no one will ever touch it. So
yeah, 20. I mean, that's an accomplishment. I guess every wrestler could dream about is you know, becoming undefeated and not only, you know, one of the top promotions in the entire world, but to be at WrestleMania and be undefeated, that's quite an accomplishment, if I say so myself. But, you know, I'm not sure. I know what is Kane just made his return. He just had, I think I read a couple of things. Kane making his
did
return,
just
you know.
Return, yes. Kane did
so
just
they do
return.
Have a, they do have a big history. I know, you know, I turn on the internet every now and then and you see Kane's name popping up 50 times. So that's, you know, I would guess it would be Kane and Undertaker, perhaps, maybe at WrestleMania. They have a long history together. And
I would think that would be the best move. It seems right now, against my own judgment, it seems that they may be going at another Triple H one. I know Triple H has all the pull in the world, and it just kind of seems like they're going there. He started, you know, Triple H started cutting the promos about, well, you didn't come back since the last time I fought you in any way. And then she kind of like segue into something else. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So, might get that. Who knows?
Yeah, it definitely be a big matchup. You know, who knows? It's Undertaker's final match. It would be Kane's big return. He's destroying people left and right. You know, might finally put the dead man down for good.
I don't know about that. The dude, he ain't losing that last match, man. He's going out 20, you know. He would have packed it in at 18 if he didn't have to do it. He was doing
that's
20.
True. Yeah, I think he, you know, definitely keep it down. And go out and bang, you know.
Definitely. Well, I mean, what are your goals, like, as far as, you know, just complete fantasy, you know, well, not even fantasy, like, overall, what would you like to accomplish in your career?
Yeah, you say fantasy, and you know, I was very, you know, touchback. I was extremely fortunate to be able to go to Japan, and that's a goal that, you know, most some never attain in their career. So,
right.
You know, being able to do that set a new light for me right there. You know, being able to survive in Japan and learn, and you know, this is where, you know, this is you know, Chris Benoit was running back in the day, and Eddie Guerrero is tearing it up in Japan, and, you know, countless names and Japanese superstars over there and that have been there, you know, to be able to do that, it really put a no limit into my mind state. You know, it's a possibility now to be able to attain a bigger place or, you know, anything, and, you know, anything can happen at any time that you choose.
Yeah. Another thing I want to ask you, back in the day, there was something. There's a little. Some people had it as a little clip and all of that stuff. What happened back in the day with you and Super Dragon?
Super Dragon, you know, I was you know, pretty wild fan. If you remember back in the day, I loved the attention. I loved the fact that you can interact with the wrestler so personal. And you know, I have no idea at the time who Super Dragon was. And he came out, and you know, I'm a CZW guy, and here's this guy coming in, and I'm not sure who he is. You know, he's going to come in and wrestle CZW guys. You know, I'm going to be opposing him. And, you know, kind of as he was coming out, I guess I gave him the finger. You know, I said, F you suck. And, you know, as he came out, he turned back around. And little did I know, he's in my face 2 seconds later. And, you know, this wrestler's coming after me. So, you know, to really talk about what happened, you know, that's what happened.
It was cool shit. I know, you know, it got a little bit of rounds. I know some people, when they had the CZW fans board, they had it as a little gift, like one of those guys. It was like their signature. It was like you getting, like, mushed by the Super Dragon and shit like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know, at the time, I had no idea how big his name was on the West Coast, and, you know, for him to come over to the East Coast, and, you know, I just, you know, what happened in my company, I get, you know, not my company, but, you know, my home, you know, place that
I love
CZW, and it's the outside guys coming in, and I'm like, you know, I'm rooting for CZW. That's, you know, what we're going with. And as it happened, I remember myself back, you know, back then, the CZW fans were having, when Super Dragon was making his return, they had Super Dragon versus Little Mondo round two, and it was like a little hype up thing when he came out, and, you know, I think it was that doubleheader they did. That show was, they came out, and I remember he got my face immediately and was like, you know, better be prepared, and he came out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, he just actually returned not that long ago, so you never know. You could get your revenge now that you're on the scene.
Yeah, I know. You know, I definitely, you know, wouldn't mind curb stomping Super Dragon one day.
There you go.
Now, you know. get my revenge on him. But like I said, who knows where the wrestling world will take you? You know, next month I could be out there very well wrestling Super Dragon. But pretty coincidental. You know, you probably wouldn't expect it at all. You know, that see where I've grown to, and still have a long way to go. But I don't know why he exactly left or whatever. I think it's cool that he returned though. Pretty exciting.
What's that?
I said, I heard that he returned, though. It's, it's been exciting, the talk on the internet about it.
Yeah, definitely. So, anyway, I'm going to bring on Eric, because he had actually called in or whatever, see if he's got any questions. And just real quick. Eric.
Yo, what's going on?
There you go. You got any questions for Rory?
Who do you, I don't know if you've, I just got on, so... what's your thoughts on this whole, the arena not doing wrestling no more?
How you doing, Eric? First off, thank you again for having me on the show. I appreciate that. And, right off the bat, I'm just as clueless right now as almost everybody else. DJ High's not made a big move yet of what's going on. I know the CZW Academy is going to have to find a relocate if we, have to leave the arena and... who knows what could come about this, It's definitely a shock to the wrestling world, and, I hope that it stays up. I hope wrestling can continue there, the history it has there. It's, like most say, it's a landmark of wrestling, a landmark in, in Philadelphia, for that matter, famous worldwide ECW arena.
Right. Also, I don't know if this was asked yet, but who are some of the guys that, dream matches for you?
Dream matches for me? Dream matches. Super Dragon versus Little Mondo, why not? Let's get that in there.
There you go.
Right there, right
let's
off the bat.
Get right on the table.
It's got to go down.
Main course. Let's go.
Everybody, I hear people talk like, maybe Six Nick Mondo or should return, either tag with you or wrestle against you. I think, that would be pretty exciting for something to happen. Unfortunately, it's completely on the opposite end of the pole from an idea. Probably will never happen ever.
All right.
Dream matches, other than that, trying to think, there's plenty of wrestlers out there, I'd love to work, be able to be in the ring with them, just learn from it, learn from the experience, whether fight as big as it can, whoever the current CZW heavyweight champion, that'd be cool, get in the ring, and it's Devin Moore, or it's somebody else down the line, get my shot at the title, that's what I want to go for. Gotta work my way up, that's what I'm going for. Three matches otherwise, I'm trying to think.
The wrestled half of Japan at this point, so it's rough.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said you wrestled half of Japan at this point, so it's rough.
Yeah, that was like I said, a dream come true. That was, wrestled some huge names over there, and they're pretty famous in the wrestling world, and some great opponents that I was able to work with. I guess someone who doesn't wrestle anymore, that would be pretty cool. It would be Dynamite Kid. Always kind of looked up to him, his brutal style in the ring, and I really appreciate that. Other than that, it would just be some singles matches that, really prove myself that, this is where I want to be still. I was lucky to have Drake Young in the ring. That was a huge match for me, biggest match probably in my career. And, just more matches like that, that's what I would hope for. Something that I could get, that'd be pretty amazing.
Definitely. What else you got, Eric?
Well, I was going to, you do the deathmatch stuff and stuff like that, but, who do you think are the top three deathmatch workers in the world, in your opinion?
Top three deathmatch workers in the world, in my opinion. Definitely not Matt Tremont. I'm going to put him last on the list because,
Come on.
He's been doing pretty good.
There's Mike Levy's out there. You ain't got to
Yeah. Mike Levy's, right above Matt Tremont, all serious, though, like you said, I was in the ring with some of the best over there. You got Jun Kasai, one of the top guys, and almost every guy in Big Japan who is a deathmatch worker is, one of the top deathmatch guys in the world. CZW-wise, without a doubt, you got Masada, the unstoppable the machine right now. CZW has just been paving his way, paving his mark, leaving his mark wherever he goes. You know, he was in Japan while I was over there, and you can see the impact he has. He's got a humongous following in Japan. He's probably, you know, without a doubt, one of the top deathmatch, you know, wrestlers and regular wrestlers of, you know, right now. You know, as well, I mean, you look at it, you know, you look at Devin Moore, you know, first glimpse, you see his size, and you never expect the amount of ability that this guy has and the versatileness that he accomplished and how he proved himself in both the deathmatch world, both in regular competition as well, you know.
So you got Kasai, Masada, and Devin Moore?
And it is top three current, correct?
Yeah.
But just in general, sure. I mean, it doesn't matter in general. You know, I mean, like, I was, you know.
Well, I would say current. Eric's saying in general, but I would say current, and then I would also ask you your favorite all-time deathmatch wrestler.
Well, I think that's pretty obvious.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, the match is me, but, you know, that order is no particular order. I think they're all amazing workers. You know, deathmatch fighters, you know, you got Danny Havoc, who came to CZW and just completely, you know, shined and just showed the world that, you know, this is just not some other deathmatch guy. You know, he really, look where he's been. He's been all over the world. He's been in Europe. He's been in Japan as well and Mexico. And he's really accomplished so much. You know, he's definitely one of the top deathmatch guys out there. So many names to really, you can't put in order of...
I know, it's hard, man, believe me. it's very hard. We're going to do our fucking CZW fucking slammies and fucking WWE slammies later on, and it's going to be hard as fuck, because I'm sure I'm going to fuck up and leave somebody out. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you know, almost forgot, you know, Drake Younger himself, you know, Scotty Vortex, you know, two top deathmatch guys. You know, everything's smooth over now. I'd like to, you know, aside from that, give a complete congratulations to them on their new school opening up with Combat Zone Wrestling out in the Midwest. I think that's really something amazing that's going on right now.
Absolutely.
The East Coast school is not, you know, unsure of what the whereabouts could be. You know, you got another school opening up in the Midwest and it's led by Drake Younger and Scotty Vortex, Dragon's Den out there, and that's something, you know, if you're a Midwest fan, I highly recommend it. It's Combat Zone Wrestling, you know, there's no other place like it, and there's no other trainers, you know, better trainers out there you can learn from. So if you're listening, you're from Minneapolis, I would go check it out on online on Facebook.
Definitely. Is there anything else you want to plug?
You know, not too much to plug, Just, I really want to say thank you for, you know, anybody who's ever helped me in this business. There's obviously a list that I could roll down, like New Jack's criminal record from side to side, and thank people. But, you know, main people, you know, I'd like to, you know, thank the Black G's. You know, wherever his standing is in CZW, I have to give him a lot of credit for where I'm at in wrestling and the amount of time that he's taken to train me and help guide me through wrestling, and, you know, the ins and outs of it, as well as his partner, Joker. You know, they both helped shape me into the person, you know, I need to you know, withstand and endure and be in wrestling. You know, they've been great leaders for me. You also got, you know, the man himself, DJ Hyde. He's one of my personal trainers, you know, somebody, you know, that I know and, you know, who showed me a lot. And, you know, without him, where would Combat Zone Wrestling be right now? You know, if he didn't take over, who knows? You know, could not be non-existent. I think he's doing an amazing job. And, you know, unfortunately, the arena's, you know, possibly closing. And who knows where the company would be from then. But, you know, there's so many names I'd like to thank. And I thank BJW, you know, for having me out there again. And, you know, everybody in CZW, he's been a part of it and helped me along the way and helped me learn. That's pretty much it.
Definitely, man. Shit, man. You know, thank you for so much for coming on, Rory. You know, you missed us, but it wasn't really a big deal because, you know, I know you were, you know, you had a lot of things to tend to. You had a lot of training to do, and it was really no problem. You know what I mean? And,
I appreciate that again. You know, I apologize, and, you know, thanks for letting me come on tonight. It was a great time, and you got a great show going on, and I hope you continue to do this. This is something that helps wrestling grow, and I was bringing attention to a lot of people out there, you know, what wrestling is, and getting personal with any wrestler that comes on here is something amazing that you guys put on, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Stu, for coming on. We wish you the best, and we'll be watching, dog, and we'll be covering it and all that stuff. And again, thank you for coming on, dude, and good night, man.
Thank you, man. Follow me if I advance, man.
Absolutely. Will do.
Imagine if I die. You got it. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. All right, peace. All right, Eric.
What's going on?
Hold on 1 minute. Talk for a second if you can. Just introduce yourself or something. Because, people don't know who you are. You haven't been here for half the show.
It's Eric. Coming on late, you know.
I'm just emailing our friend right quick. Not emailing, but I am. I don't multitask well. I'm very bad at
it. No, multitasking. Yeah, so that was a good interview, and, I'll get to go back and listen to it on the archive, and just like everybody else should.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you hit me up early in the day about the Slammies. How many...
we're going in, dog, and that's what I said.
But how many, are we doing the same things that WWE did, or are we doing our own?
Well, I'll tell you what our categories are. We're going to play a song, and I go take a piss, and then I'll come back and we'll do some wrestling. But Wrestler of the Year, we're going to do it for WWE. This is completely separate. And then we're also going to do it for CCW.
Okay.
We're going to do Heel of the Year. We're going to do Tag Team of the Year. We're going to do, now this one is like Upcoming Star or Most Improved or Rising Star. No matter how you want to put it, the guy who is the new focus, who you might not have been focusing on in the past, or he might be a rookie, or whatever the case is, the guy who is now making his fucking name out there, Upcoming, Rising, whatever the fuck, star, diva, or female wrestler of the year, OMG moment, or just biggest moment, shocking moment, most emotional moment, something that drew you in the most, match of the year, death match of the year, and mic skills.
Best mic skill. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to do all those. I'm going to take a break and a pish. So here's a sad little not going to do that yet. I'm not going to do that yet. Let's jam on it. Here goes Jack Frost and Freeway with some Jam On It.
I was dope boy fresh before you was a dope boy. I sold O's boy before Cameron made old boy. With the boys in the hood making dope boy. Oh boy, y'all really don't know what life's about. The jails need to let the drugs in on life result. And keep all the racists in. Keep the best on your chest so the cops can't break us in. Execution, revolution, my life LED, high resolution. If everybody grinding, who's snoozing? If everybody winning, who losing? A lot of y'all lie on Twitter. You a rat in real life, so try on Twitter. To look gangster, to look G'd up. Quit picking your weed up, saying you read up. My young bucks are cop that to smoke that. He put one of these, y'all a bunch of poke cats. Young girls still begging me for my time. Put my son through my legacy like Tron. And West Philly's finest. You rewind this, beer gang's behind this. No, I'm not a king, don't call me your highness. But when I throw it on, you can call me your flyness. Warning, little boys, don't try this. The Louis cost more than your Prada's. No K.O.B., I got him in Nevada. My J.O.B., a hustler and a rider. I travel, y'all local. I can show you what spitting verses of that coke do. Every line is addictive, descriptive. The friends of the gym time readers ain't predictive. Can I get a witness for the murder I wrote? You heard that I'm dope. I heard that you broke, that we both heard right. Fly to Medina by the dawn's third night. Then out to Mecca, freak ab and jether. Chase the barricades to make my soul better. Say Shafak, come on, make my pole better. Taught my oldest how to stack and hold cheddar. That way low at the high, get the street life. Got me on a separate free diet. High calorie intake, whole team been straight. We could ride till the wheels fall off and squeeze the hot metal till the steel fall off. In the 90s, I was spinning till the wheels fall off. Before using computers and the internet shooters. Throwback Jack 3, we back, we, I don't mean just me. Me and Benji, I mean Benja, that's my ninja. Jackman, Battle Cat, y'all cringer. You ain't get it, that's an old head joke. 36 OZ, that's old head coke. A quarter ounce can't feed my family. You could cut the check and keep that Grammy. Here, gang. Okay. Go back, Jack. Bring us a bearded maniac of rap. Gotta pay me, can't pay me. Teflon can't spray me. Bulletproof off cars till the bullets bounce off. Oh, y'all ass with the flow. One boost. Y'all master the flow. Survival, I'm a hustler, I'm a fighter, I'm a boxer, an animal, a monster, the new Igor. Beware, I feed on MCs and I eat traps from MPs. Y'all don't eat rappers, y'all bite raps. All you eat is snacks, Big Macs, or Mickey D's. I'm a barbecue, y'all hickory. And the Max Click rappers, lickety. Y'all MCs tickle me. And your jewelry trickery. Show it well before I go Jay-Z, mention me. Switch up the flow so y'all don't get sick of me. Stack up my dough so my kids live through me. House for dad, ooh me. Y'all MCs is bad business. That's why you get the critics like bad movies. How I'm living, just cheesy. Big house in the booty, no roomies. Damn only, the blame on me. They got a ladder in it, I ladder niggas. Y'all think y'all bad, we badder niggas. Big bellies, we fatter niggas. And we're splatter niggas. You don't know, you better ask them niggas. What's a party with no DJ? What's a throwback Jack with no freeway? Yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah, man. That's Jack Frost. He's been lighting shit up. Yo, dude's got some crazy shit. But yeah, we're back. Definitely want to give some shout outs right quick. You know, mid show shout outs. Fucking we got Brent finally showed up. I don't know what the fuck he was doing all night, but he finally showed up. Our dude Stan showed up. He's gonna be calling in a minute, going over a bunch of different shit with us and you know, all of this. But who else we got in the chat? Matt Alvarez, that dude. Who else we got?
What about the wrestling soup?
That's late show shout out. Late show shout out. I mean, these guys are off the hook over there at the wrestling soup. But
where the fuck's Juan at?
DDP's been in since fucking minute one. So big shout out to that dude, bang. And I mean, self high five. So
he promotes our shit on his Facebook too. So.
He's good stuff, man. Good stuff. But hey, random news before we get into this. Let me actually, you know, bring Stan on. Welcome to the show, Stan.
Yo, what's up? How are you?
Cool, man. Cool.
How you doing?
So yeah, we're cool. We're gonna get into some random news before we jump into this other stuff. Oh, China is now actually doing escort. Yes. Because why not? I know you guys are reaching for your wallets, so I'm going to go ahead and just read off the prices for you so you know how deep you need to reach. It is actually $3,500 for the first hour, $1,500 for each additional hour, $10,000 if you would like 24 hours with China, and if you would like the weekend girlfriend treatment, that would be a $20,000 payment. So, thoughts?
So it's $3,500 for the first hour and $1,500 per additional hour.
Right.
So if I wanted 4 hours, right, let me see. Carry the one, negative integer of 3, 62 divided by. That's $8,000 for 4 hours with China?
Yeah, right. And that's where you might as well bump it up to 24 hours and have her go to McDonald's for you and shit like that. Yeah, I mean, you, like, have her vacuum the carpet for fucking 2 hours straight. Like, it's pretty clean. Like, listen, I paid. You know, I don't know, dude. I mean, $3,500. It should be $3,500 for the first hour. $3,500 for the first hour. Obviously, you're just bringing them to dinner. that first hour is so crucial because, you know, all the wine will be spilt in the first hour. So, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Hold on, I didn't hear what you just said. I was looking for my loose change so I could start collecting my $3,500 for at least an hour.
I know, dude. I mean, maybe, you know, if the two of us could pool enough money, maybe we could split an hour. I don't think I could handle an hour with her. So, you know, a half hour of vomiting would be just fine on my end.
Now, I don't know. Didn't she make an adult video at one point, or was it one leaked or something like that?
Oh, well, there's actually two. The original one was Xbox fucking her, and that was one night in China, and she calls that the rape video because she claimed she did not agree to that, and it was a terrible experience, and everybody was all high, and that was the first one. Well, she is now working for Vivid Entertainment, you know, obviously the legitimate porn company, I'm sure we all know, is Berman, and this one was called Backdoor into China, so they put it in her butt, more or less.
Well, at least at that point, you don't have to see her six-inch clitoris.
Oh, you saw plenty of it. You saw plenty of it. Let's not dance around the subject. It's out there. You know, what can you do? That's what steroids does.
Steroids makes your clitoris into a small penis?
It does,
penis?
Apparently. Like, apparently when women take steroids, it makes their clit huge. It's that part of science that you learn from seeing China in porn. And then going, why? Just why? And then people start telling you, and then you look it up, and you're like, oh, that's nice to know. I'm glad I'm not a female or on steroids, and we'll just go with that. So, either way, $3,500, you know, rock it for an hour. You know, you got 20 grand. And you need to spend your weekend with the eighth wonder of the world? Is that what they call her?
Yeah, I think that's what they call it. Now, do you think she's actually going to get any offers on this?
Yeah. Yeah. Sickly enough, yes. She will have a rich dude in a fucking figure four leg lock with his cock out for like fucking six of those hours. There's some sick, retarded people out there. It's like, I need a big, muscular woman to fucking put me in a submission move. Just choke me out. And you know, there will be like another David Carradine lost over one of these offers.
Do you have to scream uncle just before you come?
I, you know, never got into that because I really don't know. Nina's saying the same thing that I said. That's cool. That was nice. So like, that was nice. Speaking of overpriced, John Morrison thinks he's getting $5,000 per indie booking.
Wait a minute. I just read somewhere that he's trying to retire and doing acting.
Oh, well, clearly he could never cut a promo or fucking connect with the audience, so I don't see where acting is anywhere near a fucking option.
And I don't think I can watch a whole movie of him walking in slow motion. That would just bother the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, he can wrestle and all of that fun stuff, but unless he's just like an extra in like a fight movie and he does a couple cool flips and then fucking dies or something, like, there's no way any type of lines. There can't be any actual scripted material for this guy to talk during a movie, because he can't talk during a fucking ring presence. Like, he was in tag teams with people who talked for him. He was in, like, from his girlfriend to Miz to everybody just talked for him, and he just stood there and looked stupid, and then...
R-Truth was talking for him?
Oh, man. Everybody talked for him. It's just ridiculous, and,
Everybody also took a chance at his girl, but you know, that's a different story.
Oh yeah, he drove his girl to Batista's house, dropped her off, and fucking came back and picked her up. Like that's the story as was told. He's I don't know. He's not a full man. Pretty impressive in the ring, but pretty unimpressive on the mic. And then his you know, I don't know, relationship. I would imagine. Whatever.
Didn't his girlfriend, like, Melina come, well, girlfriend. When she started doing indies, didn't she want like $3,500 or something?
Some dumb shit like that. Like that, you can get the two of them for almost $10,000. Well, that's good because you don't clear that on the fucking door. So that's phenomenal. I'm sure they'll be booked lots.
About the same price as China.
Yeah, and I don't know if you could put it in Morrison's butt.
That's a good point. So since Morrison
go with China.
Drive it, so,
she looks
Morrison,
like a man, and I don't know. Again, I mean, if you're going that direction, you're picking a man. One of those will allow a lot of things. The other man just wants to wear a fucking trench coat. And
yeah, but at least Morrison has
motion.
Nicer hair.
Huh?
Morrison
yeah, Morrison
does
have nicer
hair.
Nicer hair than China. Yes, he does. This is going a strange direction. I just gotta put that out there.
So, wait. Morrison would drive his girlfriend to some other dude's house and then come pick her up later. And I'm sure
yeah.
they were just partaking in a game of Parcheesi or something like that.
Right. Well, I mean, Batista
yeah.
was a huge chess player. And, yeah, you know, I mean, they had to chop up with it. He was actually teaching her piano lessons.
Oh, she was becoming a master with the penis?
She was a pianist.
Gotcha. So, do you think China's clit is
penis.
Bigger than Morrison's penis? Since we're talking about penis.
The what?
Do you think China's clit? Do you think China's better hung than Morrison's?
This is going way wrong. I don't know why I signed up for this. Listen, she also fucked Mike Knox. Or Doc Molina. Those are two definite, like, that shit was well reported. And, like, yep, Batista and Mike Knox while she was with Morrison, and he just kind of was like, okay, buddy, hey, listen, you know, just don't give me details. You know, I'm just going to stand on that side of the locker room. It's all good. But, yeah. It's all old news. Random other stuff, just want to run down real quick. Eric, you know, PWG fucking Super Dragon and Kevin Steen won the fucking tag titles off the Young Bucks.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Hero returned to PWG. And so did B-Boy in a six-man tag.
They got Kurt Russell reunion coming up the 29th of January. They already have two
That'll
matches.
Be huge.
For that. Yeah,
That'll
did
be
you see
huge.
The two matches?
No, I didn't see what was announced for it. What was it?
They announced a six-man tag, Super Dragon, Kevin Steen, and Akira Tozawa versus El Generico, Pac, and Masato Yoshino.
That's
and
unbelievable.
They announced it's a big opportunity for two of the guys, Seaman Ricochet versus Johnny Goodtime and Johnny Yuma. So big opportunity for
two other people
Goodtime,
are, but
yeah.
That first match is ridiculous. The second match, I know half of it, and then but dude, fucking the talent that they put on those cards are just fucking bananas. So I don't know. There's people in the chat room saying it. Brent says he feels like he needs a shower right now. Like, you know. Well,
with China or with Morrison?
But I think the combination. I think the combination of things just made them feel dirty. Just, I don't know, man. The people are taking rape showers off of our conversation. So I think I'm winning. What the fuck is that game? It's like Battlefield 3 or some dumb shit like that that looks like fucking Call of Duty. Here's the problem. I just had to like mention this real quick. Every time I see this commercial, I'm going to fucking break my television. They have the 99 Problems song from Jay-Z play, but they go, 99 Problems, but ain't one. Yet, they show you people shooting other people in the face.
Really?
So, bitches
wow.
off limits, but headshots all good. You know? Shoot them in the fucking face, and don't ever call him a bitch. Just, for some reason that fucking irks me. It fucking irks me. I try to zone out, but it really fucking bothers me. It just really, yeah, Battlefield 3. I fucking will never buy that game because
well,
of that fucking.
Obviously, the people in California that make all these rules, just because they seem to, like, you can't win, you can't lose, and everybody's a winner and that kind of stuff. Obviously, they feel that, you know, young 13-, 14-year-olds learning how to say the word bitch is much, much more
detrimental to society than them learning how to shoot somebody in the face. So obviously they're right, and, you know, I'd much rather my kid running around shooting people in the face than saying the word bitch.
No, I feel like teaching all of my daughters to say bitch tomorrow on a regular basis, and they'll do it because they're really easily trainable that way. Rather than, listen, we're going to make an even exchange, girls. You're going to call everyone a bitch and never shoot anyone in the face. I think I would take that exchange. It's highly unacceptable for them to speak that way, but far less acceptable for them to shoot anyone in the face just once, you know? So, I don't know. I just putting it out there. I'm trying to avoid both, but if I had to pick one, oh, they'd have bitch tattoos before they shoot people in the face. I don't need this. I can't understand this garbage. It's so retarded. Oh, man. What else? Yeah, China. That's cool. Anybody see Kane's return?
I didn't see it live. I actually did just see a picture of the mask.
I saw did you see both masks?
No, I just seen the one leathery-looking mask.
You motherfuckers. And Eric?
I saw it on YouTube.
You seen the both masks?
Yeah. I seen the whole segment on YouTube.
Okay. Well, the first mask looked like kind of like Iron Man, but like actually more like that War Machine, like that silver Iron Man or gray Iron Man, whatever it was. I'm not that big of a comic guy. But that gray Iron Man that was in the Marvel versus fucking Street Fighter games, fucking that shit. Capcom versus whatever the fuck. Yeah, Marvel versus Capcom. That's what I was talking about. The gray Iron Man. That's what his fucking original, his first, when he walked out, it was a metal mask. It had fucking, like, glassy eyes, like the Predator mask that he kept over his face. And then it had fucking, like four or five lines in the bottom, like either, you know, the Iron Man shit or fucking the Rocketeer or one of these motherfuckers, right? So it was kind of like, oh, look at this guy. So, you know, obviously you knew who the fuck it was. And he chokeslammed the dude, and then he pulled it off. And then, he had the mask back on. I honestly, you know, can you believe that it's actually been 8 fucking years that Kane has been without a mask?
Really?
Yeah. It's been that long. And that's how long people haven't given a shit about Kane. That's exactly how long people haven't given a shit about Kane, because his fucking gimmick died when he took his fucking mask off. It was cool for like 2 weeks, and it's like, oh, look at this, and like, oh, we're just gonna stick with this. Alright, that's one ugly bitch. And then it's just, he had fucking speaking roles, and he had just like gimmick matches and like comedy matches and like mixed up with Hornswoggle and all sorts of silly shit, and you were just like, oh, this is a shame. You know, he was never the best wrestler in the world, but the gimmick fucking passed, and when you killed the gimmick, it exposed what the fucking wrestler was, and that's not much.
It's like when they turned him face, that was like that's kind of what killed him, like.
Yeah. Turned him face and showed his face. All terrible. I don't know. Dude's asking me something, but he's not asking me, and he said he'll wait till tomorrow to his show, and I don't know, dude. People. Jesus Christ. So anyway, did you get the email or the message I sent you with the Japanese card, Eric?
Yes.
I would love to do that tonight. So
when do we do it now?
Oh, sure. Why not? Okay. Wait a minute. I got to introduce it, though. If you're going to do it, I got to introduce it. I was going to get a gong noise, and I didn't. I just, like, kind of leaned off of it. Are you ready? Let me know when you're ready.
Hold on. I had the paper. Hold on.
Oh, it's phenomenal. These are Pro Wrestling NOAH results, and it is going to be phenomenal. And, I sent this to Eric. This is from December 10th or something along those lines.
No, December 11th. December 10th.
Yes.
November.
Now?
November 27th.
Oh, it's still great. It's still great. Don't take away from what I have. This is phenomenal. Are you, well, let me know when
you
you're ready,
to read
and then I'll intro it. What? Yeah, I want you to read everything written.
Okay.
That's the greatest part. So, you got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So here we have a popular segment on the show. This is Japanese with Eric.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it? Yes.
There we go. All
right, so this was November 27th, Great Voyage, 2011 in Tokyo. In the first match, tag match, 30-minute time limit, Maso Inoue and Kento Miyahara versus Mikey Nicholas and Shane Haste. Nicholas and beat Inoue by a reverse rolling cradle.
Ah. The fuck is that? Go ahead.
In the second match, Takashi Morishima and Yutaka Yoshi defeated Akitoshi Saito and Muhammad Yone.
Yeah, he did.
I think this is his return match. Kenta Kobashi and Kensuke Sasaki defeated Takuma Sano and Shulai Taniguchi.
Uh-huh.
They do a lot of fucking tag matches. And,
oh, they do. They do. Just more names to pronounce. That's why I love it.
Katara Suzuki, Atsushi Aoki, and Taji Ishimori versus the fucking results are acting up. I don't. Who the fuck won this match? Yojiro Takayama, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Ganaba Haranki. Oh, they defeated the Suzuki team. Takashi Tsuji defeated Naimuchi Marufuji.
Go ahead.
Ricky Marvin defeated Katsushiko Nakijima to become the GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Okay. Nice.
Juan Akima defeated Tayo Kiya.
Ah, that's great.
And Go Shizaki defeated Kenta.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So that, do you want the outro?
That was the whole show?
Yep.
You whipped through that pretty fucking fast, I gotta tell you. I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to step the game up over here. Bring you some other stuff, Well, that was Japanese with Eric.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it? Yes.
Yeah, that sure was. Sure was. Well, something I definitely wanted to do because yeah, I talked to Stan about this the other night and he hadn't heard about it. And it's old stuff, but it's pretty classic on the top of that. And you still there, Stan, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to play Superstar Billy Graham shooting on Chris Jericho. And then when we get back, we'll start the award presentation.
Well, Chris Jericho, you can go straight to hell and burn in hell because that's where you belong. And I'll help get you there by cutting your tongue in half. And I think that would put an end to your music career. And so I would be more than happy, Jericho, to take a pair of pliers and cut your tongue in half and watch you bleed to death on your own blood. Now, Jericho, you may have the face of a choir boy, but you've got the heart of a devil. Your heart is dark, and your heart is evil. And one day you'll be in hell burning, and somebody will walk across and see your skull on the floor of hell. Because that's exactly where you belong, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, the liar of liars. Every time you move your teeth, you sound like an idiot. I wouldn't even touch the books that you read. And I would not touch a book that you have read, Chris Jericho. I despise you that much. You're an idiot. It's a wonder that you even still know how to breathe. Every time I crawl past your door, I wish I was somebody else instead. You have covered up the truth with lies. One of these days, you'll be found in a ditch, flies buzzing around your eyes. Jericho, I hope that you die and your death comes soon. I'll follow your casket on a pale afternoon. I'll stand over your grave and watch you as your Lord to your deathbed. And I'll stand over your grave to make sure that you're dead. And then once I'm done with that, I'll spit on your grave and you will be burning in hell. To conclude my remarks about Chris Jericho, you have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, and please don't edit this out, I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about Chris Jericho.
So, yeah.
I've never heard that. That's, like, news to me.
That's fucking awesome.
I think we have China's first client.
We very well may, but, it's going to be her last client as well, because I think the fucking guy is going to be a killer at this point.
What the fuck is his problem?
Chris Jericho said something in his book about, like, how, you know, he's just all out trying to get attention for himself. And that was the backlash. That guy's all about himself, and he's like, I'll walk across your skull on the floor of hell for the sake of me living and you dying, drowning in your own blood. You're like, oh, well, you know, thanks, buddy.
Did you hear in April that he said that he wanted out of the Hall of Fame?
Really? Oh, that's shocking.
Because they fucking
said
it. He would
be accepting of any honor.
Like, and to quote him on this, it's like for the WWE to induct into the Hall of Fame Abdullah the Butcher, who has never wrestled one match under a contract. You know, like he said, I'm demanding that my this company remove my name from their index of Hall of Fame wrestlers.
Oh, he's such a good guy. So what's your feelings, Dan, on that?
I'm amazed in the fact that was quite scary to sit there and listen to, that somebody can be that aggravated at somebody, that it's not a joke. And, like, if I was Chris Jericho, and I understand Billy Superstar Graham doesn't move around all that quick these days.
No.
I still don't think I'd like to be in the same ring. Like, when he gets uninducted to the Hall of Fame, or same building, I don't think I'd show up to that.
Right. Dude, I mean, Jericho's been touring a lot out of country, so I don't know if that's anywhere near to, you know, because Jericho's book came out a while ago, and that actually was probably like a year or two old. Like, it was actually like a minute ago. But, and to go out there and actually say, hey, you know what? I'm about to say some shit on tape. I know this is being recorded, and don't cut this out. I'll kill you when I see you. That's a bad move, I think. That's not like, hey, I didn't even know what I was saying. I was fucked up. You know, I thought I was just bullshit, and I was kind of joking. You'd be like, listen, I'm dead serious. On tape. I know I'm on tape. And if you cut this tape, we're going to have problems. Do not cut the tape. I'll kill you. That's not going to go over well in court. If anything ever happens to Chris Jericho, they're showing up at this guy's house like, what do you know? I know he overdosed in fucking such and such, but what do you know?
Yeah, no, whenever Jericho dies, if Billy Graham's still alive, he's definitely suspect number one.
Yeah, like, I think he fed him whatever pills he died of.
fuck it.
Now, I think it was pretty cool that he did go into his, it was a little bit of a promo, because he used to always do that that rhyme shit, like really bad poetry. And
yeah,
he
like
went
Teddy
into
Hart.
That, which was rather cool. That's about the only good thing out of it.
Really cool in a weird way. Just I don't know how cool it is once you break into that thing in your fucking 60s. I don't know how cool it is when you rhyme in your 60s about making younger guys die when you're not. It's not like a promo. It's a thing like, it's cool when it's a promo when you're like 20 years removed from wrestling. It's not a promo anymore. You need to be locked up. I don't know. Well, fuck. Well, let's get into the Slammies. I only know so much of what they actually voted on because I really don't give a fuck because it wasn't accurate. But, well, I'm going to start at the bottom. And actually, you know, Stan, you didn't even rehearse on any of this, so it doesn't matter that I forgot to mention this one to you when I talked to you yesterday. But first one I'm going to put up is Mike Skills. And I'll leave that to Eric to start off.
This is for WWE or CZW?
All WWE. We're going CZW afterwards. And
okay.
You know,
so
I'll have to check it out because, you know, he's only really watched one show. I'm going to acknowledge him and show him a shitload of video when he comes up to my house, and we're just going to just watch shit. But, go ahead.
So, Mike Skills has to go to CM Punk.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I don't think there's a lot of people who are going to disagree. Fuck. Pipe bomb, fucking, you know. They actually made a pipe bomb award, and Jesus. You know, that was some shit that came out in his promos. That's ridiculous. So, Stan, what do you think?
I think CM Punk does win it, but I think, you know, just to talk about it a little bit instead of just everybody saying CM Punk and then just ending it, The Miz did not have a bad year on the mic himself. He definitely gave you a reason to hate him every time he got that stupid lisp on the mic. You just wanted to go through your TV and just headbutt him.
Who's that, The Miz?
So,
The Miz.
Well, but, I mean, would you actually pick him for mic work? Like, over
no,
CM
no,
Punk?
No. CM Punk definitely wins it, but like I said, just not so that we
well,
didn't go across the board and say CM Punk.
There's facets for that. And I know I did go a little bit across it. Just spoiler alert. I just, you know, I'm sorry. WWE doesn't interest me that much. And, you know, the one guy who's actually brought me a lot of fucking joy within WWE is CM Punk. So I'm sorry if, you know, it's very fucking biased, my opinion on this. And I, you know, I implore both of you to, you know, have different opinions. And I understand those too, because I have, like, my second favorites, and they're probably your pick. You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, if you don't pick what I'm picking. So, anyway. Match of the year, WWE. Eric.
Let me think about that one.
How long you need?
Well, you know what? Go ahead. Go first. I'm just trying to think of some good stuff.
You got it?
Well,
no?
Yeah, I got something.
Okay.
Just because you love him so much, how about the Edge Dolph Ziggler Royal Rumble match?
How about you suck my dick, what are you out of your fucking... You got to be kidding me, dude. You got to be just doing that to be a douche. There's
no
way that was like best match
you.
Of the
no,
year.
Just,
of course, and that's
just messing
great.
With
that's
you.
Fucking great. I love it.
Just messing with
so
you. I had to throw something that Edge did, and that's about the only thing he did. This year.
I like when he looked like Beavis for his whole career. That was a good move.
Randy Orton Christian?
The match where he tried to lick his ear like George the Animal Steel and stuff?
Yeah, that SummerSlam match. I believe that was SummerSlam.
It might have been. I don't know. Pretty good. I mean, I don't hate you for picking that, even though I'm kind of... It was good. I mean, it went off just
best match of the year. Dude, I gotta again, fucking yeah, real bias, whatever, but CM Punk Cena in Chicago. CM Punk had the fucking build that he had not signed a contract. And I honestly don't think that there has been a better fucking sell on this, especially since the internet era, that people didn't know that he signed a contract. Like, people didn't know whether he was going to be with the company after that day. It was built up to a pay-per-view where they thought that was going to be his last match. And if he won the title, he would leave the company with the title. Everyone believed that. As grown fucking men with the internet and the spoilers and every fucking thing else out there, you can search any website out there at that time, and they were just like, I don't see any contract signed. I think this is his last run. And there was so much emotion built to that, so many CM Punk promos built to that. And that shit was fucking, was the shit. It was just the fucking shit. Because I honestly was on the edge of my fucking seat watching the pay-per-view for free. And I was just like, dude, this is great. I can't wait to see what happens. And when he won the fucking title, I was just like, holy shit. And then he left through the crowd. And then he stayed off TV for a week or two. And fuck, I mean, that shit. And, you know, match-wise, he hit a fucking, Cena is a horrible worker, and CM Punk made a fucking awesome match out of that. But fucking Cena didn't turn his head on the one spot, and fucking CM Punk just jacked him in the jaw with his fucking knee. Like, he's supposed to turn his head, and he's supposed to land the you know, pretty much knee, like, flush across his, like, collarbone and neck area. And fucking Cena just looked straight at him like a fucking DMV picture, and he just fucking drilled him in the fucking chin. And I was surprised Cena got up from that shit. I don't know if steroids make your fucking chin strong, but he got up and all that, and I was just like, whoa, fucking, hey, I think the one dive off the corner, Cena wasn't close enough, and CM Punk dove anyway, so it was kind of like you could blame it on both of them. But other than that, the whole match went perfect, and the fucking emotion and the fucking build to that was like nothing else. Like, I really hadn't cared about a fucking main event on a pay-per-view for WWE anywhere near that much since I was a fucking child. So I gotta give that match that. But what do you think, Stan?
Well, like I said, I agree that CM Punk had a great year.
Oh, yeah, no, you already picked. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I definitely picked
you. You said Randy Orton. Eric.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
I was distracting people.
As you were saying that, I was like, that's the match I was going to pick after. Because I was trying
that
to think
sense.
If that. Yeah, so that was good. I mean.
That makes sense. Yeah, it was decent.
They didn't even have to, like, they didn't even have to, like, going into that match, they didn't even have to, like, in the match, they could have done, like, little as possible in the match would have still been, you know, great for what, you know, the finish was and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They tore it up in that match.
Yeah. So I'm going to skip forward to the OMG moment, the oh my God moment, the most shocking moment, the most enthralling moment as far as the WWE went within the past year. And I'm only skipping to this because I have the same exact answer as CM Punk walking out with the title when nobody knew that he still had a contract or anything like that. And it was like, holy shit, like, someone is actually leaving the company with a title and all of that stuff. So I don't want to go into the same rant. What do you guys think?
Well, again, to play devil's advocate in this and just to pick something a little different.
You can hate Chicago. That's just fine.
I can what?
You can hate Chicago. That's fine.
No, I don't have any problem with Chicago. the Bears.
Yeah, doing great.
The Triple H firing McMahon was intriguing to me, although it took a horrible turn and became horribly done. That first night when he came out and fired him or whatnot, I thought it was a very intriguing moment, and it shocked me.
Okay, but and yeah, I would agree with that it was shocking and this and that, but do you not think that was the biggest fucking piece of shit ever when fucking Vince, who's the biggest, cockiest douchebag in the world, just bowed his head and said, all right, I guess I gotta go. Like, there was no banter. There was no...
stupid.
You got to be out of your fucking mind. I rule this motherfucker. I'm the god of the world. I fucking... Yeah, I mean, there was just like, okay. Slight tear.
Yeah, they,
walk away.
Yeah, no, they could have done a little better.
A little bit of a momentum kill there.
Yeah, they could have done it a lot better. It was just interesting to see Vince leaving and what was going to happen with it. And
it's always interesting
if it wasn't
to see
for
Vince leaving.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for CM Punk, you know, who knows where this company would be right now? Because they don't have much
else
going.
That's an awesome statement. No, that's an awesome statement. Honestly, I don't think I'd be watching it right now. I really wouldn't. I'd be reading the results and trying to report the best I could, like, summarize off of that on the show, because when it comes down to it, I'm just not interested. I really don't. Like, there's so much of it. It's so bland. I've seen this shit for, like, fucking 10 years. It just, at least 10 years, the same shit. Vince is the all-knowing. Vince is the shit. This and that. Oh, Triple H is the king of kings. The king day-to-day. He's the fucking douche of douches, you know? CM Punk had his big fucking run. And who was it? It was old fucking men. Kevin Nash and fucking Triple H, who was the only people to come and derail him. Instead of having, like, guys who he was actually feuding with, the Cenas or, you know, the Del Rios or the whatever the case was, the guys who stepped up to squash his fucking role were fucking old men that could not allow people below them to get over. And that was your Triple H's and your fucking Kevin Nash's, you know, good friends. Just something about that just really fucking rubbed me wrong.
Real quick though, and I want to ask this question to both you and Stan.
You have your vote as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Punk, the whole Punk situation, but I could throw devil's advocate out there as well and say Alberto Del Rio win the world title.
Because
I don't think he's not
Quite
at that
frankly,
time,
everybody that wins the Money in the Bank gets the fucking title.
Means Daniel Bryan will probably...
He'll probably be the first one to get shitted on because he's an indie guy, and they fucking went up and down to fucking, even though Booker's trying to... I put him on my favorite, dog. I put him on my favorite, so I don't see why he ain't got a title yet, dog. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't... mean he's gonna I don't something about it, like he's not getting over. He's got that John Morrison a little bit in him where he could work his ass off in the ring. And I love fucking D-Bry's in my fake five. I don't even know how that works. I don't have a fake five. I don't know how to make that shit happen on my phone. I don't even know if it's an option, but it's probably not. He's an awesome dude. A lot of people have called him the new Benoit. And quite honestly, I think if you give him the run, he can be that. He really can. Like, wrestling-wise, he can be that. Like, he's that fucking good, wrestling-wise. And it's funny because people are like, I don't know if he has the total package to be Benoit. Well, Benoit has never cut a good promo in his fucking life.
Benoit couldn't talk for shit, but do you think Daniel Bryan has the intensity? Because that's what made them watch.
Yeah, I actually do. And the part where he actually comes off and looks grisly and looks scary and shit is when he got the beard. And he looks like the fucking, the castaway dude. And he was talking to a beach ball and shit. But, he has faced the low-keys, the fucking, the scariest people in the indies straight up. He was... CM Punk, he wrestled 100 times. He fucking and the low keys and the Xavier's and the who else? Daniel Bryan had wrestled everybody in the fucking indies. Samoa Joe's and this tremendous knockout, fucking straight up. Like, the indies, like, to a certain extent, it gets to an MMA extent where you're actually taking direct kicks and strikes to the face and head and neck and taking the bumps that are actually, they should knock you the fuck out. Like, you should actually, there shouldn't be any selling. You should actually just be fucked up. But these guys continue to go off of that and work it within a just a straight up, like, professional wrestling match. And Daniel Bryan has been that when he was, American Dragon and this and that. He's done that for years. He's been a just intense dude,
super technical guy, guy who had a good amount of training in his early going by fucking William Regal. So he has the fucking, like, I would say he's more of a combination of Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit than he is just a Chris Benoit. But honestly, I would say, like, he has fucking one of the hardest hitting fucking European uppercuts I've ever seen. Like, I've seen him annihilate people with that shit in the ring. So, I mean, maybe that's a William Regal influence. I don't know, but that's just that.
But what is going to bring the WWE back to that, you know, what it was? Because once you make it to the big stage, I know I'm stumbling a little bit here, but once you make it to that stage, there is
no competition.
No, we're
way off,
which everybody
but go ahead.
Knows. Yeah, no, but everybody knows there is no competition. TNA is not competition, and there is no competition. There's no reason to take those hits at all. I mean, if you watch Raw, you can sit there and you can count numerous just disgusting displays of wrestling. And what is the reason that would come back? Like, why would Daniel Bryan continue to take those hits and make it look good?
Stan, let me ask you this. Are there any gimmicks? Are there any larger-than-life characters as there was in the late 80s, early 90s? Are there the personas, the gimmicks, the full shows that we're putting on by a certain character? Does that exist anymore?
No, that's pretty much dead.
Right. So when wrestling is turned to the point where it becomes more of an athleticism sport, they still have, like, WWE has a good amount of cling to still trying to touch on those characters, but they're not going full force on those characters. You know, the Boogeyman, he got, like, a bunch of fucking negative response, but I thought he was one of the best fucking things to happen to the WWE because he was that over-the-top fucking character. The lights cut, the fucking worms are falling out of this dude's mouth. He's fucking crazy. And whether it takes 10 minutes out of the show or whatever it is, he was the character that was fucking supposed to happen. So I thought he was fucking good.
I agree with that.
They apparently thought that was fucking way off. So you either go one way or the other. You either go full in on fucking gimmicks and limited on athleticism, or you go full in on athleticism. And then you've got fucking Daniel Bryan kicking the shit out of CM Punk in the middle of the fucking ring, and you're just like, I have never seen two fucking athletes go that hard against each other. Then fucking get it.
But what I'm saying is, what's going to make them, maybe those two will, just because they look like they enjoy or love wrestling as a sport.
Yeah.
But when they get in there against Cena, like, why would they, why would Cena
take that?
He's going
to have to step up. He's fucking huge. He can't take it? I think he can. He's going to have to do some shit he wasn't used to. And guys will get weeded out through the process that are just gimmick guys. However, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, if it becomes about athleticism and that's what it's about, you're going to get more guys in the fucking business that is about that. And that's what it is. That's really what it is.
Yeah, there needs to be a competition. There needs to be another rich guy like Ted Turner coming and buying a wrestling and or starting something and giving them a competition on why to be as hard-hitting and as stiff and everything else as they were back when there was the WCW versus WWE and the Monday Night Raw wars and the Monday Night stuff. Just because now, once you get there, you know, you're there. There's nothing except for to stay there. And you stay in the WWE, not by your matches, but how many T-shirts you sell. And that's a shame.
Absolutely. And that's fine. But honestly, if you wanted to do that, you need to find out what the fucking genre is. You're not pushing the fucking gimmicks enough, and you're not pushing the athleticism enough. You're fucking standing in the middle and dancing back and forth like fucking Carlton from fucking Fresh Prince. There's no even balance. It looks like a fucking nerd dancing. And it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And me as an adult, I don't do good with that. You know what I mean? I just look at it and go, well, fast forward. Well, see what I could talk about on Thursday. I have no idea. You know?
Right.
But that's what the WWE is to me. But, like, that's my opinion on what could work. You can go either way.
and I would find it entertaining. You get the guys like the Nigerian Nightmares, if you've ever seen them. I know
mm-hmm.
Eric has.
Yeah,
these guys are fucking disgusting looking, and they're nothing that you would call an athlete. I mean, for their size, they do a good amount, but they're fucking ridiculously fat. But they play their fucking shit up to the top. Like, they're like fucking African fucking warriors, and they just fucking eat shit off the ground and just catch squirrels and chomp their faces off. Like, that's the shit that they put out there. They're just like, they got them out there just eating raw meat and fucking just banging on their fucking tits. They got back tits. Yeah, I mean, they're just out there just acting like licking their fucking, trying to lick their eyeball, and just crazy ass dudes. And that is the gimmick wrestler at its finest. That is what it is. Like, back in the days, that's what it was. I mean, you had guys like Papa Shango that was just, I'm just trying to shrink your head and fucking do this and that. You had, you know, these different gimmicks, and those were what it was. I mean, Rick Rude was just trying to fuck a bitch, but he was wrestling with dudes all day. It didn't have to make complete sense, but they were into what they were doing. And then that enthralled people. Fucking, you know, Bruce Bird. Yeah. Big shout out to Motherfucking Wrestling Soup. Just said Brutus the Barber Beefcake instead of Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So that's my dudes over the Wrestling Soup. Big shout out, Joey Nevis, Anthony Missionary Thomas. Anyway, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He was a huge fucking fag gimmick, but he was all about cutting motherfuckers' hair, and he just broke into that shit, and then you believed it. And he actually looked crazy. Like, he had the fucking eyes bugged out of his head because coke. And, you know, he was just running around, and fucking the 80s was just mostly fucking coke. I mean, everybody knows the fucking 80s is all about coke, from rock and roll to fucking wrestling. And they were running from Macho Man to The Ultimate Warrior to Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Fucking just fucking eyes bulging out of their goddamn head and just cutting shit that you can never even come near. Nobody comes near that type of shit these days. And maybe it's the lack of coke. Maybe it's the lack of fucking, you know, intensity on the gimmick. I don't know what it is. That's why, like, I praise a guy like Sammy Callahan who has that. And he's not a cokehead. I know the dude personally. He's not. So, I don't know. I give a lot of credit to those dudes, man. But in the same token, there's a big separation within the WWE. That's all I got to say. I don't know.
Agreed.
So anyway,
yeah.
Diva. Diva, female wrestler, such and such, of the WWE of the year. Who do you got, Eric?
I like the whole, like, you know, Beth and Natalia, you know.
It's a one-person vote here.
For one woman
that gets the choice of the year.
I'll go with Beth.
Who's your girl?
I'll go with Beth. She's just, you know.
You go with Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's a very good pick. Very, very good pick. That would be my second pick, honestly. My pick has to be Karma. Karma completely was about to change the women's division in the WWE. She came in from the vignettes of her popping dolls' heads off, or her being a whole different type of chick, and just popping blonde dolls' heads off and laughing maniacally with her huge teeth and just fucking going into some shit and just looking fucking terrifying towards the people she was about to wrestle. She was a fucking monster in the Divas division. And that was never fucking put out there in the Divas division. It was just Barbies. Hey, she's cute. Look, Puerto Rican cute, black cute, white cute, da-da-da, blonde cute, da-da-da-da-da-da. It was just like a big fucking circus. It was like a fucking strip club with no nudity. It, really upsetting. And, you know, so, but as far as wrestling goes, there was no diversity. It was just like, here's the line of strippers, and they're not going to take their clothes off, and they can't wrestle, deal with this for 20 minutes. Like, Jesus Christ. So, but then you had Beth, and you had, you know, Natalia, who were fucking great wrestlers and all of that stuff, and but they were thrown into the mix, and then when you had Karma came in, she was just like, I'm going to spike these little bitches on their face. They're going to have to deal with that shit. And they had to, like, they're just fucking terrified and they're running for their lives. And I really think everybody would have had to step their game up. I think that would have also been the fucking window to let Sarah Del Rey
and fucking Mercedes Martinez and those super talented chicks on the fucking indies, because honestly, I think fucking Sarah Del Rey is more talented than every motherfucking chick in that fucking locker room, period. As much as I like Karma, as much as I like Beth, as much as I like all of that, I don't think fucking any one of them can hold the fucking jockstrap of motherfucking, I don't know if she wears jockstraps, I'm just saying, of Sarah Del Rey. She's fucking unbelievable. She will beat the shit out of, like, most dudes. She's quite awesome, and I think that was actually working towards that. But, you know, that's my pick. What you got, Stan?
Well, you sold me on Karma. I mean, I like the Beth Phoenix thing also, but I'm definitely now sold on Karma. She does have some big chicklets in her mouth, that's for sure.
That's why I sold you on the big teeth, and that's all. Jesus Christ,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
big
no,
teeth
no.
for fucking half a second, and it is, Jesus. I know you like the diversity. Let's get it. Just stop it.
You know, the diva thing, it doesn't work when it's just like, you know, you accurately described it. It's strip club without any nudity, and it just doesn't do anything for me. I usually go and get something to eat when they come on, and if I'm watching it live, and if I'm DVRing it, I usually just fast forward and right after they enter the ring, and that's pretty much it. You know, there's no wrestling involved with most of them.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, sex sells, I get that, but at the same time,
it's
done. It's absolutely, it's just done. There is no sex to it anymore.
Sure.
It needs to be a little bit more wrestling or just get rid of it.
I see it on both sides. Now I understand why sex sells. I understand why it's a fucking viable part of the company and all that dumb shit, but, you know, you got a bunch of TNA to fucking athletes or what you call them, athletes or whatever the case is. And it works. It's a different thing to go at, and it's something that I don't know. It does what it does. Well, upcoming rising star, fucking, you know, it's been called most improved. It's been called upcoming star, rising star, fucking the new dude, whatever the case is. And it could be rookie of the year. It could be, you know, it could be, someone who's been there that just now just turned the corner and started to really prove themselves as far as WWE goes. And what do you got, Stan?
Well, Dolph Ziggler has definitely grown on me for some reason. I can't even put my finger on what it is because, you know, he's grown on me. I don't know if it's the screaming of Vicky outside or what it is. It's just something.
Get out.
Get out. But no,
no,
Dolph Ziggler has definitely grown on me over the last couple months. In ring, he can perform as well as anybody. He cuts a decent promo. I think he's even getting better with that, or at least he's, again, growing on me with his promos. It's amazing to say from when he first came out that I can actually see him in that championship title mix. Not too much of an issue with it.
Yeah, I always seen him as he's got the look and the whole aura of Mr. Perfect, man. He's a new Mr. Perfect with his son being in the fucking business, and it still doesn't even work. So well. Me, I gotta go with Cody Rhodes. Cody, he's just done tremendous shit. I hated the dude. I thought he was completely not cut out to be here. I wanted him and motherfucking Ted DiBiase Jr. fucking cut from this shit. And hold on, I gotta hold on. So anyway, I gotta go with Cody Rhodes, dude. He flipped the fucking tables, and that was the shit. That was the shit right there. And the dude has been busting his ass. He's becoming off a legitimate heel, and like tremendous shit. So yeah, I'm gonna go with him, man. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
I think he's getting much better
pick.
Than he was.
Honestly, within the next year or two, he'll probably be a world champion material if he sticks around and stays good within the backstage joint, because he is a very good fucking talent. He's a guy that a lot of people are going to pay attention to. And
British guys don't scare me. Never did, never will.
That big motherfucker grabs you, you're going to be a little worried. I don't give a fuck. You come out to get the mail, and that motherfucker comes running out of the street. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Oh, shit. What's your problem, dog? I don't care, man. I don't care. It's a big-ass dude.
Until he starts talking, then he's just a British guy.
I hate British fucking people's voice, dude.
I don't like the voice.
I can't watch British comedy. I don't think any of that shit is funny. Nothing, dude. I just... It's fucked up. So... Okay. Tag team of the year. Go ahead, guys.
There isn't much to choose from on the tag team thing. There really isn't. I mean, didn't Atungo and McGillicuddy have the longest title reign for this year?
I think so.
If you say something that has to do with Otungo, which his name is Otunga, and I hate
Otunga,
him,
what'd
probably
I say,
every wrestler in the fucking company.
What'd I say, Otungo? I'm sorry, Otunga.
Yeah. Just move on from that. What else happened? What's your tag team of the year? I don't know why you even mentioned that guy's name.
I'm just saying they had to
put that
for
whole
longer,
cup
so.
That he puts his coffee in his asshole. That's what I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I'm gonna have to go with the Miz and R-Truth.
That's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick at all. These guys blew it up. Fucking awesome Truth. Until he smoked some fake weed and then they cut the program. I don't know, but. They were blowing shit up. Hey, yeah, man. Eric.
I'm going to go with the other half of the person that also smoked that good stuff. I'm going to go with Air Boom with Kofi and Evan.
Yeah, which is a phenomenal pick, and not only a phenomenal pick, my pick. That was the actual the expression of athleticism within the tag team division. That was something that actually, you know, made shit right within WWE as far as what athleticism meant. You know, when you had a guy like CM Punk, world championship material, you had guys like fucking Air fucking Boom. Oh, yeah, that's the one dude, obviously. You had fucking Kofi Kingston, and you had fucking Evan Bourne doing the Air Boom shit. They were fucking clicking up and doing severe athletic shit. You had Kofi doing some shit. You had fucking Evan doing some shit. Evan was pulling fucking shooting stars off a ladder on the outside and shit like that. And they were just chopping shit up. There's no way about it. I mean, these fucking guys made that shit entertaining. And, again, nothing against... You know, Awesome Truth, because they were doing the gimmick shit that was fucking the best you can ever do, because they were putting it out there. However, I mean, these guys were putting the athleticism out there. That's like I said, the indies will be pushed forward by the guys that do that shit. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, fucking Air Boom, like these guys are the guys that are going to open the fucking doors for the indie guys to come in and bust their ass and outshine the fucking juice monkeys like fucking Cena and motherfucking, oh, The Rock has fucking 2 months off of a movie deal. The Rock says, I'm more jacked up than ever and I'll never leave you again because I don't remember yesterday, so I'm here today and forever. And it's just like, dude, we haven't seen you for 8 months. Like, fuck. But fuck these guys, dude. We need the hardworking wrestlers to wrestle to give a fuck about wrestling. And that's what the fuck this shit is about, in my opinion. And that's just me. That's just me. But Air Boom makes that shit work for me. And, yeah, you smoke some old synthetic weed and you get suspended. Just smoke some real weed. Fuck it. You get suspended anyway. Who gives a fuck? Heel of the year.
Eric? I'm going to go with Miz.
Okay. Stan?
See, I agree with Miz. You know, I think Miz, again, did a great job of just making you hate him, making you want to go there and just beat the shit out of him. and making every time he wrestled you wanting to watch him just get beat up. I don't know if it was because of his background and where he came from MTV and that whole thing, but he worked his ass off to get there.
No, I agree. That would be my second pick, honestly, but go ahead.
What's his name? Alberto Del Rio, also same type thing.
He can't talk.
Same type.
You can barely
speak the fucking
language, and he can't talk a fucking promo.
But
he's got a fucking ring announcer that can't even fucking talk the promo. So what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, dude, he's not ready because of that shit. You know what I mean?
That almost makes it the same, though, because when I think of Mexico, I don't think of rich guys driving fancy cars and having their own ring announcers. So it almost makes me want to hate them because it just doesn't make any sense.
With the renting of the cars and driving them fucking 25 feet out to the fucking ring, just get the fuck out of here, dude.
That's always been a stupid gimmick, but they've always used it.
It's
I'm surprised they haven't
stuff.
Smashed one up, because WWE is good for smashing up cars for no
nah.
reason.
Well, he's driving that fucking Whipster a lot more expensive than JBL shit, so that's the problem. Like he's got the crazy whips. Like, them motherfuckers are really, like, believe me, they're buffing the motherfuckers on the way out. Before they hit that fucking ring entrance, the motherfuckers are buffing. Every day they buffing. Yeah, I mean, they ain't fucking around with that whip. But I'm just saying, dog, they ain't fucking with that shit. So.
Who's yours, Jeff?
Who's mine? Oh, that would be CM Punk. Because before he turned into the whole pipe bomb, this, that, and everybody was following this shit, this dude was standing on the fucking Titantron, fucking with a harness on, with a t-shirt, and saying, yeah, I'm about to jump off of this shit, because the only thing that makes you fucking stupid people pop is when fucking we fall from heights, and we do that type of thing, and he was cutting, like subliminal shit on Jeff Hardy, because he was going, and he's like, so that's what I'm going to have to do to get over, and I'm going to do this, you know, to sacrifice myself for you fucking people, because you don't get, you know, this and that. And I'm just like, oh, shit. And like, and you're just like, oh, where's he going? And he's like, you fucking people think I'm that stupid. I wouldn't do that for you people for a second. Like, he really drew you in and then shot you down. And the whole shit that went down with him with the Nexus and that, this and that, and I know that, you know, the Straight Edge Society kind of marks back to last year, so it's not valid, but the same token, what he was doing before he turned the corner and did that whole, like, kind of face turn, but he really never fully face turned. He just kind of, like, started saying shit against another guy that you didn't like, and it was just like, oh, I guess I like him because he's talking shit on that guy. And he kind of did, like, that Stone Cold turn, but he still was a douche, but he was a douche towards people you liked, so, but I would give him the heel shit right there, and, That's just for that, dude. Just because it was just what the fuck, man. He did a great fucking job. Like, and honestly, the first time I've talked to you in a long time, Stan, it was less than a year ago, and I mentioned something that we were playing Madden or some shit, Stan, and I mentioned CM Punk. I said, dude, I watch that guy a lot in the indies. What do you think about him? You're like, seriously, I hate his guts. I don't even want to see him on my TV. I hate his guts. And I was like, that's what he's trying to do. You're like, yeah, but still. So, honestly, you know, I mean, Miz might be your pick, and that's fully respectable, but because he does the same, but CM Punk definitely did his job, so.
And that's it. When you say that, it's not that I don't like these people as a wrestler. I just want to say this to clear it up. When I watch wrestling, you know, I think I might have said this once on the show, I get the whole reason that people are heels and people are the good guy. It's good versus evil. And there's just people that they play it so well that I really don't want to see them on my TV, and that's what makes me want to watch them on my TV, if that makes any sense. Like,
right.
you hate them so much that you want to see what they're going to do just to piss you off next. And he did a great job with that. And The Miz is doing that right now for me. Like, you use this stupid fucking, and it works for him, this stupid finisher on the whatever, the ramp or stairs or whatever you want to call that thing,
and all of a sudden it's knocking these guys out forever when all you're doing is basically just dropping them on their face just like any other move
does.
Well,
first off, that Jeff Jarrett finisher is garbage to me. Like, go fuck yourself. That
shit. Absolutely. And it's knocking them out forever. And, you know, on Raw, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when he was telling Laurinaitis to tell him how he's fired, tell him how you had to fire him, you know, and it just made you want to just, again, reach through and choke him and be like, it's stupid. I you know, but it makes you want to watch to see how stupid he's going to get.
So, it's funny.
I like when they're like that.
It's funny. Nina just told me that whenever I say whenever I say stupid, I say it like Randall says it, and that's something else. I didn't think I did that. I really didn't think I did that. Let me see if I can find it. Jesus Christ. This is awkward. But yeah, go ahead, talk, man, because I'm gonna just find this. CM Punk. How good is he? Anyway, we're going with the Wrestler of the Year, and then we're going to go into CZW's Slammies. Or, well, spoil it. Well, no, I'm not going to spoil it. Wrestler of the Year. Well, no fucking secret here. Let's
Let me guess who you're going to pick, Jay. I don't think it's Edge. Probably not Mark Henry.
It was totally Edge. I love fucking Mark Henry, dude. I love Mark Henry, but yeah, I would go with CM Punk. He's the only reason why I watch fucking WWE, and you know, and then there's, you know, Daniel Bryan and all that type of shit. But still, like, fuck yeah.
So you're picking Kevin Nash?
I was going to, and then he got really old, and then I was just like, it's funny. Anyway, like what I was saying before, Nina says I say stupid like Randall every time I talk. And maybe I do, I don't know, because I think it's funny. And it just like became part of my fucking vocabulary. But yeah, this is what she's talking about.
How's that? What do you say, stupid?
I don't know if I say stupid every time like that. It's like, I say stupid. I don't know if I say stupid every time, but maybe whatever, I don't give a fuck. I love pussy. Anyway, Wrestler of the Year. Who the fuck y'all guys got?
Hold on. Now all of a sudden you love pussy. Last week you were saying how much you love the gay gimmick.
Listen, I didn't say I want to fuck Dan Shokodino. I thought his gimmick was good, dog. I would never want to... Yo, dick doesn't do it. You know what I mean? Dick only does it to chicks, and it's my dick. You know what I mean? That's all it is, man. You can't come at me with that bullshit. I got three kids, and believe me, man, eyes is open, and it ain't on dick. But that fag shit is funny when it comes to Dan Shokodino did this shit good, man. That's all, man. You bust my balls all you want, man. It's all good. Don't get too close to my balls, you know what I mean? Because I kind of worry about that shit. You're stressing on that shit like you're trying to turn me around or something. Go ahead, man.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Anyway,
Wrestler of the Year,
motherfucker.
I'm just looking at the whole thing, and I believe I have to go back and listen, but I do believe at one point you said, I liked when his ass was in the corner for that long. It really worked in the match. I think those were your exact words.
It fucking worked in the match. It worked in the match. It let everybody else do what the fuck they want. He was just a gay in the corner. The fuck, man? You know what I mean?
So you're all right with his ass
just
being out.
In the corner, you know what I mean? Put the motherfucker in the corner. And they worked the rest of the match. You had mad motherfuckers in that match. You just going to have them play gay the whole time? Not. They put him in the corner and they worked the fucking match. Use him as a prop. He was like a fucking a thumbtack.
Eric, you need the soundbite. I liked when his ass was in the corner for most of the match.
He doesn't soundbite shit. That's all me, dog. I'll soundbite that shit out of you. That you just said that. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Because you just said that shit, so. No, I clipped that shit up. Wrestler of the Year, motherfucker, because we need to get in CZW. I got people who fucking want to hear this shit.
CM Punk.
God damn it. What?
Yeah.
I got to go with
CM Punk, and I got to stay on the thing here real quick with you guys, because there's just not, I mean, there's nobody else. That WWE is just terrible when it comes down to it. There's nobody else. I mean, Cena. Can't wrestle. He's one of the bigger names. And who else could you really pick besides CM Punk?
I don't know. I picked CM Punk. Eric.
CM Punk, I said.
What?
So I said CM Punk before.
Oh, that's sweet. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ. I hate this fucking, this switchboard. I just gotta put that out there. I really hate this switchboard. I gotta find a new program to get a new switchboard, because I have to scroll down, like, I have well over 100 clips, and I just gotta scroll down, and like, oh, fuck. I just wanted to play, like, the fucking CM Punk. He's like, do I have your attention now? So I'll just say it instead. Fuck them, you know? And, now, he obviously has fucking done his job at this point. He was an indie guy that I've watched for all those fucking years in any way. And, you know, to get those accolades out of three people, especially one, you know, enormous douchebag that I call a very, very close friend in Stan, that couldn't even defy me on that point, you know, he's definitely proven himself. Because Stan would be like, nah, absolutely. I like Cena.
No. CM Punk
just to define me, he's like, I can't even say it. Fuck it, I gotta go with Jay. Fuck it.
Absolutely.
So, nah, it's awesome, dude. It really is. And, yeah, it's one of ours. It's one of ours. It's one of those indie guys. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, you can chime in any way you want. You want to comment, talk about it, whatever the case is. But we're going to get to the CCW version of this now. And, you know.
Jesus!
And, Eric, let's go. Mike Skills, CCW for the year. What's your pick?
I got the Black Jesus Sabian, most hated. In CZW, people fucking, you know, make signs, fucking do all types of throw pizza at them.
So Mike Skills goes to the Black Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. I mean, personally, I'm going to go with Drake on this one because he went from, like, full face to more or less Dusty Rhodes fucking heel, where he started, well, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair heel, where he started talking about riding jets and doing this and that and coming out in the shit. And you know, I mean, Nina's saying Sammy in the chat. Well, Sammy is more of a promo guy. Like, he's more an online promo guy. He's a fucking god at the online promos with the emo fucking crazy rubbing his head and freaking out in black and white promos. However, but I'm saying, like, Mike, like, on the mic in the ring type shit. Because I almost picked, like, in Masada because of the sake of the promos, like, he actually kind of took over the fucking Nick Gage spot, just being, like, over the top and all that. But the reason I got to pick is, like, in the ring promos, Drake went on some shit with, you know what I mean, the whole Golden Boy thing and talking about he's better than this and he's better than that. And he really, like, he turned the fucking crowd in a way where they fucking loved him, and they had to hate him at that point because he talked shit about the Philly crowd and how much he did, which nobody could deny, and then he's flying here and there, and he's doing this and that, and all the accolades and this and that, and he's just on the top fucking shelf at that point. So I liked him for that. I thought that was the fucking move. Now, OMG moment. Shocking moment, whatever the case is, over the year in CZW. What would you say that is?
Well, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one, but being there live, I have to say it was, you know, crazy because of everything that went down. But the whole Scotty Drake glass thing, you know,
well,
that whole deal.
I actually agree. For the fact of, you know, Scott and Drake obviously have tremendous fucking chemistry. They obviously do a whole lot of shit, Tangle Web. Fucking, they went in there and they actually did some shit that was tribute to JC. They did some shit that was, you know, complete
nobody expected that. They weren't like, hey, this is JC Tango. Well, they were, you know, they went in there and did that shit, and people just had to see what the fuck happened. And those who knew recognized, like me, I fucking know. I was like, yo, they actually did every fucking spot in the first JC match, and the fucking management fucked up the glass. And these guys were actually risking their life. It was like, hey, y'all guys are wrestling a death match. We actually put crocodiles under the ring, too. And, you know, you guys don't know about that. It's all good, though. Right? I mean, you reach for a chair and get your fucking arm ripped off. And it was that type of shit. Like, there was some box shit that made that shit more monumental in the end. Like, when you seen that shit and you heard the sound of the glass breaking, and I seen the fucking glass and was like, that shit ain't right. And I'd go fucking scream into the ring and be like, don't use that. Like, these people are professionals, man. This ain't got shit to do with me. So I'm like, well, maybe they planned on doing some shit like that. I don't fucking know. And they did that shit. And then after the fucking show, you know, I hear from Drake and Scott, and they're both like, that was fucked up, man. We ain't knowing shit about that. That's fucked up. And I'm just like, well, I could kind of look at the glass and tell you it wasn't right, but okay. And I'm just like, well, God damn. And then, you know, Scotty's fucking wrist was fucked up. And he was nearly fucked up to the point where he could cut his fucking throat. And I'm just like, God, yo, this. But on top of that, like, the shit that they did was fucking crazy. And you know, the JC spots and the fucking two rings and the you know, the spider web and all that shit. So I would go with that. But, yeah, I mean, so we're in agreement. Diva of the year. Now, let me, before I say anything else, because you're probably just looking at two or three, whatever, I would say that there is five people who can be Diva of the Year in CZW, and that would be Kimberly, Chrissy Rivera, Mia Yim, and then you got to look at the two other divas that actually did compete, and that's Kyoko Inoue and Sumi Tsukai.
And Dan Shokubino.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you, Stan. So, those are those five women. And personally, I got to go with Mia Yim on her interaction on the entire year. Kyoko did fucking phenomenal shit, dude. I loved her performance. But it's one match. And I can't say that Mia didn't outshine that within a year of performances. Super high moonsaults, great gimmick work, and, you know, performance as far as, like, her character and that type of stuff. And then, you know, the match with Greg and all that stuff. Yeah, I got to go with Mia all day. I mean, what do you go, Eric?
Well, I'm agreeing with you on that one. I'm going with Mia. But did you see what Brent put in the chat room? He votes for Rory for Diva of the Year.
Brent, you're retarded. Like, did you listen to fucking Rory's interview? Did you not like this motherfucker? I mean, come on, man. Rory's a good guy. Anyway. Upcoming Star of the Year. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Drew Gulak.
Drew Gulak. Upcoming. Well, I can say his character has taken a good turn. And that's fucked up. That's really fucked up. Brent is really... Jesus Christ. You're always a good guy, Brent. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Rory,
the reason why I say Gulak is because they're focusing a lot on Gulak with this whole campaign for better CZW, and I just feel that with that angle, you know, he has like the number one contender shot in February, so I could definitely see him winning the CZW title.
No. Well, I'm not saying no, he won't win the title, but no, that's not right. Matt Tremont is the fucking up-and-coming rising star of CZW. CZW is built off of Ultra Violence. And the fact that Matt Tremont has done every fucking thing that he could to fucking show his passion and pride and fucking super humble to everybody he fucking talks to. And just tremendous fucking guy. Brent is right. Nina's right. Nina's only right because she listens to me. But however, fucking, that is the fucking correct answer. I'm sorry. Matt Tremont is fucking awesome. He is the upcoming star. Drew Gulak has been coming up for a long time, and I do believe he's a credible asset to the company. I don't believe he's anywhere near world title.
Yeah, but we also said that Devin Moore wasn't even close.
He's not. And if you move the fucking world title from Devin Moore, who doesn't deserve the fucking world title for his fucking presence, not his fucking ring work. His ring work is great. His presence is shit. And fucking, if you move him from fucking this presence to, okay, Drew Gulak does have presence, but he has fucking completely technical ring work. That's not a main event in CZW. That's a great Ring of Honor fucking main event, and he could work Nigel McGuinness with his fucking Hep C, and that'd be fucking great. However, as far as CZW goes, they need a guy that can work multiple fucking things, such as Devin can, and can actually fucking talk like Ego, like Mox, like Drake, like fucking so many other people who have held that title. And it's no fucking knock on Devin as a person, because, dude, he is fucking cut out for this shit in every other avenue of the fucking sense. Can he hang? You goddamn right he can. Can he go in Best of the Best? You goddamn right he can. Can he go in fucking Tournament of Death? You goddamn right he can. Did he win fucking King of the Death? Yes, he did. You know, this is the type of shit, like, and I don't want to come off the right way, the wrong way, ever when I talk about Devin. He does belong in the company. He does belong in the upper echelon of the company. But he can't cut a promo. He can't put out the fucking energy. He comes out there like he doesn't give a shit, gimmicked up, whatever the case is, and that's it. He works his fucking match. He does his shit as far as the match, but he comes out vanilla, and then he fucking flavors it up during the match. That's not a champion. I'm sorry. The champion needs to be flamboyant, ridiculous, over the fucking top to the fullest extent. You look at your Ric Flairs. You look at your different people who have held the fucking different titles and actually just been enormous douchebags because they had a belt. That's what the fuck the title is. So that's what I'm saying there. It's whatever. Jesus. That was upcoming star. Tag team of the year. I'm going to get heat from this. Go ahead.
The least most ones.
Yeah. Briscoes. I'm going to get heat for this. Well, the Briscoes, they went in there and they actually livened up that fucking scene. Philly's Most Wanted hasn't gotten good enough fucking tag team competition until Cage of Death, when they actually got Homicide and Eddie Kingston. The Briscoes were actually like even competition, and they sparked that whole shit up, and they made the fucking tag team division right. And it made, like, you know, it really, what the fuck is this motherfucker talking about? So anyway, so what I'm saying is, like, they made the shit live, and when they came in there, and the Briscoes, like them or not, they're one of the top tag teams in the fucking world right now. Like, they are fucking tearing shit up everywhere they go. They're fucking one of the most revered tag teams in the world. And the fact that they came into CZW, and they only not did do a couple shots, they also did a fucking barbed wire fucking table match shit with Philly's Most Wanted. And that was a tremendous fucking tear shit up fucking match. So I would give it to the Briscoes for the fact of what they did right there when they came in. So, no disrespect to Philly's Most Wanted. Let's go here. Match of the year.
For experience wise, from being there, it's a tough call. But I really like Scotty and Drake from Tangle Web.
From Tangle Web?
Yeah. Oh. Right.
I would call you wrong. I would say I would actually go with Scotty and Drake, but I would go with Scotty and Drake with the dog collar match. The sign on that fucking match was ridiculous. Don't forget, we're also going to do a death match of the year. And even though it had death match implications, I feel like that fucking match like had such science to it to not trip over that chain and do so much that they did in that match that I thought that shit was just fucking phenomenal. I thought that shit was the shit, man. The way that they did that, I don't think anyone could ever say that they've seen a better dog collar match ever unless they're just biased towards that shit, because they worked that shit to science and did tremendous shit with attached to a chain. I can't even imagine. Great shit. I would go with that one. Death match of the year.
Again, I got to go with match of the year. The same.
Same one? Okay, well, I would go with the Gust of Place death match with Danny Havoc and Masada. It was a tremendous fucking thing. First time fucking news stipulation. Some shit that Masada made up. His birth child, whatever the fuck case you want to call it. Tremendous bloodshed. Really innovative shit that you haven't seen before. And they, they bled buckets. They worked their ass off. Really well orchestrated match. When Masada got hit in the fucking arm with that shit like a fucking baseball bat, and his blood just squirted out of his fucking arm after he got hit with that shit. It was pretty obvious what those things were doing to people. And Danny had claws on his back like a bear attacked him. And, off of one bump. And, yeah, by all means, that shit was crazy. Crazy as fuck, and I'll go with that all day long. So, heel of the year.
Gonna go with Drake.
Okay. Black Keys all day. Motherfucking West Philly represent fucking holla. anyway. This motherfucker's the only guy that can get people to fucking make t-shirts for him that actually hate him. Spend money on a motherfucker that you can't stand. Motherfucking G's. Dog, he fucking went out there. He got motherfuckers spending money on this bitch. Yo, they got motherfucking banners. They got t-shirts. They got all sorts of shit to say they hate him. And they pay for it. They fucking pay for it. This retard Steve, he throws fucking pizza. And it's funny because, Paul, told him not even the last time, because I shit on him like probably three times since then. But Paul told him one of the last times that I, because I'm no fucking retard. Like, I know who tells him what. Paul told him one of the last times I said some shit about him. So he confronted me on Facebook. Like, oh, why are you saying shit about me? You know what? Because you're fat and you're retarded, and you can't beat me. So anyway, he threw his fucking pizza and his water because he hates him so much. Well, I know what the fucking prices are in the arena, and I'm not throwing shit I buy in there at somebody. I bring beer, and I drink a shitload of it in the car. I bring a sandwich from Jersey, and I eat that in the fucking car. You know what I mean? And then I might buy a few beers in the fucking building or water here and that, whatever that. I'm sure shit not going to throw it over the fucking railing because that shit is expensive. Apparently, you either got far too much motherfucking money or your motherfucking ass is stupid as shit and you're just throwing your fucking money over the guardrail. I don't know what the case is. Either way, G's wins as fucking best heel of the fucking year for a guy like Steve. This dedicated to Steve. I give this trophy, this invisible, enormous 25-foot trophy, to the Black G's. Holla. You know what I mean? Because the dude, he does his fucking thing. Fuck you, Steve. You know what I mean? It's actually a big-ass trophy with a dude jerking off on your girl's face. I don't know. I didn't design the trophy, but it just happens to be what it looks like. So anyway, CCW Wrestler of the Year.
do you want me to go first or what?
Huh?
Yeah, you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sammy fucking Callahan.
You're goddamn right. And the reason why that has, and from, well, I mean, if you guys want to step up to the plate and you want to make this shit change or whatever the case is, but WWE has their slammies. This is our first year doing this, so I'm going to go ahead and name this the Sammies. And that'll be Sammy Callahan. He went out there and he busted his fucking ass for a guy that calls himself the hardest hitting guy on the fucking indies. That motherfucker right there has fucking proven his fucking point. He stepped in there with everybody, whether Loki knocked him out for 30 seconds or whatever else. He still got up and fucking hit Loki with everybody. Yeah, everything he had in Jersey All Pro. Yeah, I mean, like, these type of fucking things, like, there's nobody has proven Sammy wrong and put his ass down and made him look like a piece of shit off of what the fuck he's put out there. Like, Sammy has proven every fucking bit of what he plans to fucking do. Well, Brent is saying Drake, and that's cool, dude. I don't, you know, that's cool. That's cool. But no, Sammy has busted his ass from fucking front to back, and obviously I can't include where he wrestled Loki or any of that because this is CZW. But nah, Sammy has busted his fucking ass, and Sammy, this is the Sammies. Next year we'll host the Sammies, and Sammy might not win the Sammies. However, I can't call it the Slammies because I don't like it to be the WWE shit. And I couldn't come up with a cool name for the CZW shit. And I don't want to be the fucking corny and all that shit. But being Sammy won our first one by overwhelming landslide decision. These are the Sammies, and next year we'll definitely do it again. So that is that. We're actually gonna get into football in a minute. Maybe a few other tidbits and whatever else. And I planned to play this earlier, but, you know, I just didn't want to get into a sad note. But we're going to go sad now. Oh, fuck yourself. Anyway, here's Scott Hall singing a Kid Rock song. That's very emotional.
I'm just sitting here trying to find myself. I get behind myself. I need to rewind myself. Looking for the payback. Looking for the playback. They say that every man bleeds just like me. And I feel like number one. Yet I'm last in line.
Stay along, everybody. Everybody knows my name. He got real solid on that one. But Scott, I don't want to cut you off. Yeah. Damn right. Sing it, Rock. There you go. Oh, Kid Rock. That's such tremendous fucking background interference. That's so terrible. Just gotta, you know, put that out there. Try to tune in the best you can, though, because it's pretty good.
Soon.
too many pills. I don't even know what he said right there, but he's pretty happy about that. He looked across like it's the best thing ever.
That his life has become.
Did you see the ESPN joint that they did?
The E60 or whatever that is. That was just terribly sad. I mean, the guy is just the guy. You know, what bothers me is all these so-called friends have so much power and money, and it doesn't seem like they're trying to help him. That's what I don't quite understand. And I know
somebody like that
is hard to help.
It is.
But it just doesn't seem like, you know, the Kevin Nashes and even the Vince McMahons and everything are really trying to help this guy. To just kind of let him go and said, fuck him.
China ain't throwing him a freebie, nothing, man. It's just, you know.
What's that?
I said China ain't throwing him a freebie, nothing, man. I just, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
No, but in all seriousness, it is really sad. And it's just like, that's what I'm saying, to a point, like, you look at this guy and you're just like, I wish it would just stop. I wish it would stop. And, you know, there's a certain amount of humor to it, but in the same token, it's like, you know what, this fucking guy, he's going to die. And then afterwards, it's not going to be as funny. But, Jesus Christ. I don't know, man. Like, he's taken so much humor in his own fucking demise that it's not going to work. It's not going to work out. It sucks. I hate to see, more than anything, I think I hate to see people build up a reputation and then shit on that reputation when they're done.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. He worked his whole life for that, you know. And now look what it is.
Yep. And, you know,
John
so
Morrison's
many people
getting 5,000 and he's getting no gigs. It's pretty sad.
No, he's playing old school video games and talking shit on the fucking YouTube. And it's like, you know what else goes on? Fucking, I like this song. You know what? Film me singing this song to the thing. Like, who the fuck is the asshole holding the camera? I don't even, either way, it's just weird to me. Yeah, man. What do you think, Eric?
It's crazy how, like, this guy goes from, like, you know, on top of the world, and now
oozing with machismo.
Now onto this, you know what I mean? Like,
he ain't oozing with shit right now. He's oozing with sweat while he's singing fucking Kid Rock songs on fucking YouTube. That's a big fucking difference from oozing machismo on national TV to fucking oozing sweat singing Kid Rock songs on YouTube. That's a big jump. I don't know. I try to find light in it, you know, because when it comes down to it, it's a sad thing, but it's...
Hey, so, interesting news. Did you hear about New Jack and his recent, story?
Oh, with, what's this asshole? Fucking,
Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny trying to get him to kill her fucking boyfriend who's a cop in New Jersey. That shit?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great fucking idea.
I like how New Jack, posted on just, like, on the wall, like, on his Facebook.
He pulled the audio before, like, I can get it, because I was going to play the audio. But it went something like this. This crazy motherfucking cocksucking bitch said, how about you come kill my motherfucking boyfriend over here on the goddamn Jersey? And I said, bitch, I ain't gotta kill no motherfucking thing. I ain't killing shit. Go fuck yourself, you crazy motherfucking cock strong motherfucker. I ain't got no pills for you neither, you stupid bitch. It went something like that. That was... Why are they 60 seconds in me?
Because that's... what the hell? That is stupid.
I don't know why they're 60 seconds of me. But anyway, fucking Sonny ass. You stupid motherfucker, I ain't got no pills for your stupid ass. You know, it's just, it's all good. It's just good and entertaining. We still have the NFL to do. We definitely do. I don't know what the fuck, this British cunt is fucking talking about minutes and seconds. As far as I'm concerned, we're entering, is that even, is that, what you call it this time?
Archive?
Is it archive at this point?
Well, after, yeah, after, after
after 12?
Yeah.
Okay, well then that's what it is. You know, much love to everybody who's listening to us live. If you would like to hear the NFL fucking banter and us fucking act like a bunch of douches about NFL stuff, which, believe me, I'm loaded and fucking, I'm loaded for bear as far as that shit goes, then you guys go ahead and download the archive, and definitely everybody else check us out. I'm just give a shout-out real quick. Wrestling Soup, awesome dudes. It's archives now. Everybody's signing out, so I ain't got nothing else to say. Oh, fuck yourself. Thank you guys for showing up. Eat shit. See you next week. It's Christmas time. Do 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 do. Fucking yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You like Christmas, you motherfuckers. So anyway, we're gonna go into the NFL. You know, that's what happens. Sometimes it happens around this time of year. Almost, I would say regularly.
Hey, where's that broad, Tammy Lee, Tammy Cinch or Sonny or whatever? Where's she living? Because wasn't she up my way for a while?
I think she lives. She did live in Jersey and shit. And she was like engaged to a fucking Jersey cop or something, which is weird because she was on.
Yeah, but wasn't she
drugs.
Up my way for a little bit there in Carteret?
Yeah, yeah. Well, her and Candida were both living in Carteret.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I was just wondering if she was from there.
Then
I tried to look it up real quick. Yeah,
well, but then you died. Fucking, she just, like, went to, you know, they were fucking drug addicts to the fullest, and supposedly Candida was trying to clean the shit up. He actually died off a brain, not a brain hemorrhage, fucking hemorrhage off his leg. It was like a blood clot that fucking went completely wrong. He hit the corner because that shit happened on TNA where they were doing one of those lockdown joints where it was all cage matches. And he ran into the corner and the cameraman was in the corner and he kind of like slowed his progress up to not hit the cameraman and hit the corner bad and fucking caught a blood clot in his leg. And that shit landed him in the hospital and in the end he fucking didn't make it out of that shit. Like there were a lot of other complications,
The rumor was that you're not supposed to, after you get hurt like that, you're not supposed to fly, and he flew, like he got on the plane.
I'm sure he flew.
And,
mentally or physically or whatever.
And then he went, and then that's why he got the blood clot. It's because, he got on a plane.
Yes.
So anyway, I was just wondering if it was like a cop from up this way. That's all I was really wondering. Sorry.
It was a Jersey cop. Like that she was staying with, and it got reported like maybe a month ago tops that she fell up an escalator, and they showed. What?
Happens to me all the time.
Oh yeah, I know. Regular. And she showed pictures, and yeah, she was busted the fuck up. I was like, yeah, I just fell. It clearly looks like a fist mark on your face. No, the stairs are weird. They're all this brick laying in the shape of a fist. It was just, I fell down on the stairs. Like, it was that type of shit. And then all of a sudden it was like, New Jack, can you kill my husband? Like, no, bitch, I can't kill your motherfucking husband. Fuck you, crazy bitch. I ain't got no pills for your stupid ass neither. They just came out on the fucking shit. It was just like, oh, Jesus. Here we go. I don't know what's truth about any of it, but I just think it's hilarious on all fucking counts. So, anyway. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God help us.
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Yeah, sure is. Oh.
all shit to talk about. Jesus Christ. Oh, God help us. Oh, we got Jacksonville and Atlanta tonight. And Eric, you know, you sent me a message earlier, and apparently you sent to me at, like, I don't know, 7:45. Unfortunately, the picks have to be in an hour before kickoff, and the kickoff was 8:20. So I looked at it, and I went to the computer, and I looked at my phone, and I looked at that, and I said, oh, shit, he fucked up. And so Eric was not able to pick for that game, and it doesn't matter because I fucked myself on that game. However, what would your pick have been with the Jacksonville at Atlanta? Atlanta.
I picked the person who was favored, the team that was favored.
Right, so Eric picked Atlanta, even though he will not be paid for that pick. I picked Jacksonville because I thought, you know, there would be some... I didn't think Atlanta was going to come out strong. What do you got, Stan?
Well, Jacksonville is like this...
I said, what's your homer pick? Go ahead.
Well, Jacksonville is like the seventh place in Florida I'd want to go visit. I mean, there's so many other cities that are so much better in Florida. I've driven through Jacksonville many times, and it looks like a bunch of guys with four teeth and poe people. Not that there's anything wrong with either, but come on, they can't sell out that stadium. Even when they were good, they didn't sell out that stadium. There's a reason that there was no NFL team there for so long, and they really should just move to, I don't know, Los Angeles. Atlanta is a badass.
That always works, yeah.
Well, you know, they need a team over there in Los Angeles. Atlanta's a pretty badass city. They got some good history with Martin Luther King, and he did some things there, Civil War stuff. They got Master
what
P.
What did he use, Dan?
What, Martin Luther King? He did plenty of things.
He did some stuff there. He did a little bit. That guy was all right.
Yeah, he did one or two things. They got Master P and that crew, so you got to give them a little bit of street credit.
Is. Oh, Jesus.
They got lots of chicken. They got lots of chicken and waffle joints, and Ludacris is from there, so that, again, street credit, way up.
So wait, let me summarize. You got Martin Luther King. What was the next thing you named?
Master P.
No. Martin Luther King, Master P, and Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. So, yeah, we're in good shape. Jesus Christ.
Again, the street credit's way up in the ATL, or Hotlanta, as they call it. They also do have the Braves and Chipper Jones, which definitely brings down the street credit real quick.
Crazy.
I heard that,
I mean,
too.
That's a plus.
Atlanta's last game was so thrilling that their coach had to go to the hospital for heart problems on the way home, had to come off the flight. So,
yeah.
In the end, I think I'm going to have to take Atlanta there, bitches.
Ah, shit. There you go. That's a lot for fucking... The game is over and you motherfuckers won, even though Eric didn't pick the fucking game and on the paid pool. He fucking lost because he didn't pick it. I picked Jacksonville because motherfuckers... I mean, I expect them to put up all them goddamn points. They beat the shit out of these motherfuckers. And, yeah, it was fucking 41-14. Go fuck yourself, you know? Anyway, next game up is the Dallas Cowgirls against the Tampa Bay Bucks, my dude's second team. And Dallas is favored by 6.5 away. What do you got, Stan, with those guys?
Well, speaking of Tampa Bay's, and you always say it's my second team.
They
so
got a ship. They got a ship.
They got a ship in their stadium.
They sure do. Look at
interesting.
Them. Does Dallas have a ship? I don't think they do.
Well, John Adams, the letter beta.
What the fuck is that?
Silver, helium, Pennsylvania, Marla Maples, and the New York Jets. These are all things that are seconds, just like Tampa Bay is my second team.
Wow, that's a terrible class to fall into.
What's that?
That's a terrible class to fall into.
Yes. Dallas, they have no running back and no defense, obviously. They just gave up 12 points
that had Jerry yelling and his rich-ass nephew covering his eyes. But his nephew was like 27 and he's still covering his eyes. Dallas has Jerry's World, this massive stadium. And they say everything's bigger
Jerry's
in Texas.
Kids.
Jerry's Kids, yeah. No,
similar
Jerry's World.
To Jerry's Kids.
I want to see what that state's all about. You know, lots of cool people come from Dallas. You got Dimebag Darrell, Meatloaf, Clyde from Bonnie and Clyde, Chris Bosh.
Wow, you're really
Vanilla Ice.
Scrambling my brain. what do all these people have in common? What are you doing?
They're all from Dallas.
Oh,
Don King, Dr. Phil.
Blow it up.
And I don't think you can go wrong with betting against Dr. Phil's
team.
Put
them in the fucking building.
Don't think you can go wrong with betting against Dr. Phil's team. Go Cowboys.
Well, go McKenna, the Cowboys. But what do you got, Eric?
I got Tampa Bay. 6.5 points is a lot.
You got fucking Stan's team, and that's cool. Because, you know, Stan can't represent him, someone needs to, and then when he fucking links Dr. Phil to the other team and then picks them, it makes me vomit a little bit in my mouth, and then here we go, and I give you credit for that, Eric, because Jesus Christ, someone needs to fight Dr. Phil. You know? He does. I'm kind of rooting for you, and I'll catch a loss and still fucking be like, well, it was only right. Anyway, well, next up we have the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. And the Dolphins are favored by 0.5 points away. And I'm just, yeah, go ahead.
Go well, Miami.
All right.
You got Miami?
That sounds really solid.
Oh, you got OJ versus Larry Zonka, Marino versus Kelly, Pitbull versus Ricky. Pitbull versus Rick James. And Miami's hot right
Kirk
now.
Rick James. What the fuck is Rick James got to do with?
He's from Buffalo, believe it or not.
You went deep on this motherfucker.
Yeah, you went a little bit on this.
You went hard. Jesus Christ.
Miami's
went,
hot right now.
You were just like, let me see fucking state history. Give me this. Go.
Oh, it gets better. Miami's hot right now in football and in the nightlife. And the party's always going on over there in Miami. Buffalo's kind of like a loft apartment overlooking New York City and a good party there. Only good thing about Buffalo was covered 2 weeks ago, and that's the Buffalo Wings. And you should go back and listen to that on demand. Fitzpatrick has a great beard. Oh, and Lex Luger is also from Buffalo. Well, now dead, but he's from Buffalo also.
According to Wrestling Soup, he's dead. You picked Miami?
Well, Miami
Eric?
Was hot.
I picked Miami.
Eric, hold on. You picked Miami. Okay, so go ahead.
Miami was hot, then lost to the EAGLES. Yeah, and Eric finished that. Eagles.
Ready?
There you go.
Fuck that shit.
Oh,
fuck that.
That's just
then they fired
Eagles,
their coach. And...
Fly. Go ahead. Do whatever. Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
What's the matter?
No, I was trying to do the song, and it just doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Oh, the Fly Eagles Fly?
No,
and,
it doesn't
and
matter.
Now, so anyway, Miami lost to the Eagles last week, and now you got two teams with nothing to play for except for pride and self-respect. And Miami's top player, Reggie Bush, obviously has no self-respect because he dated a Kardashian, and he dated
her
long-term.
How is that not fucking respect, dog? How is that not respect?
Hold on. Well, listen.
Jesus
this is
Christ.
How.
Go ahead. I have my pick still. My pick's still out there. Go ahead.
Everyone knows that the Kardashians are just like Paris Hilton, and you just got to get them drunk and bring out the night vision, baby.
So, how many times do you fuck a Kardashian or a Hilton?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Absolutely zero, but that's okay.
Well, there okay, so what's your pick?
Miami.
You still want them. See, you like my method, where you shit on the team a bunch and then you go with them. So anyway, Reggie got that shit. Fuck the Kardashian, and that's he made her famous. You know what I mean? Well, no, Ray J made her famous.
Ray J made her famous.
Yeah, Ray J made her famous, but who cares? He's not even famous.
And his sister made him famous, and then he made her famous, and then next thing you know, she made herself famous, and, you know, you fuck a bunch of people, and it's whatever.
Do you think Kim and Chloe are ever going to take Buffalo? I don't think that show's ever coming on.
What?
Kim and Chloe take Buffalo? Not going to happen, right?
No, but Kim and Chloe will take Buffalo in this match if it were lined up and there were the two backs in the backfield. Over Reggie Bush, I think Kim and Chloe will still take Buffalo in this match, and I will take Miami all day. This is what it is. It's just what it is. You cannot fall fucking Reggie Bush for fucking Kim Kardashian. You gotta be out of your fucking skull.
No, not for fucking her. For having a long-term relationship with her.
Who cares? Who cares if you fucked her for a minute or fucking 25 minutes? Who gives a fuck? You were with her for a while. You enjoyed fucking her for a couple months. Who cares?
Weren't they engaged?
Who cares? They're not anymore. He's doing his own thing. He's fucking other chicks. Who cares? He was just like, I'd rather fuck her for, almost 6 months. Let's call it whatever it needs to be to do that. Fuck cares? Who the fuck cares? Whatever. Miami, everybody's Miami across the board, and we're arguing over Kim Kardashian fucking whoever because she's a whore and desirable to most people. However, the next game up is Seattle, the Seahawks, the mighty, mighty Seahawks, taking on the Chicago Bears, and the Bears are favored by 4.5 points. What do I got?
I got the Bears.
Yeah, you do. What do you got, Stan? Bears is really...
Seattle's basically known for grunge music and Kurt Cobain and Rain, and Chicago is really just known for... They are known for Rain, Seattle. Chicago's known for wind and... Chicago gets that lake effect snow, so it could be clear, and then like 5 feet of snow out of nowhere. The Bears are falling apart right now. They got Tebowed, and the Seahawks are actually hot right now. I think they won 5 out of their last 6.
Tebow could suck my dick, but go ahead.
Okay.
He's celibate, so I don't have to worry about gay tendencies. I'm good.
Gotcha. The Seahawks are doing it all with smoke and mirrors, but in the end, I get the Seahawks here.
That's nice. Fuck that. Talking Chicago. You know. Because motherfucking Chicago, man. Brian Urlacher will kick the shit out of a guy like fucking shit. Who the fuck did it? Tavares Jackson? And honestly, on that, I gotta fucking apologize for last week because I was stupid fucking drunk in the last hour. And I actually, like, promoted the shit out of how the Vikings have a chance because Tavares Jackson is the shit. He hasn't played for them for a year. So that's my bad. I think Tavares Jackson is playing for Seattle at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I think Brian Urlacher is going to take huge advantage of that. I know Tavares Jackson doesn't care about Jesus, and he actually hates Jesus. He has, one of those upside-down crosses on his neck, and he shoots people in his fucking free time. So I don't think that Seattle is going to prevail, you know. They don't have that Tebow against them. They also have, the Antichrist running the offense, and I think Chicago could definitely do it. I have no beef with fucking Tavares Jackson. I'm just being a douche, and I still pick fucking Chicago to win that game. No. Yeah, I pick Chicago to win that game. Absolutely. The fuck is that? The fuck is that? I'm trying to play sound drops from like 3 miles away. That's ridiculous. So ridiculous. Jesus Christ. So, anyway. Next game up, we have the Carolina Panthers against the Houston fucking Oilers. You know, why not? Why did they have to die? They had to be Texans because that was such a better name? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, I'm just going, fuck you. So what do you got? Oh, wait. The Houston Texans are actually favored by 6.5 points. What do you guys got?
Then we go with, first off, I got some injuries for this. Carolina has Darius Butler did not practice all week. He's questionable. And for Houston, wide receiver Kevin Walter has been limited all week, and he's questionable. The big question out of the Texans is T.J. Yates.
What?
I said the quarterback is tearing it up right now for Houston. It was T.J. Yates, so I'm going to go with Houston. A lot of people were talking about him, so.
T.J. Yates did lead Houston back to a thrilling 20-19 win at Cincinnati last week. T.J. Yates is 2-0 now as a starter. T.J. Yates is also again garbage and a third-string quarterback for a reason. And T.J. Yates' luck is going to run out at some point here. Carolina is that team. Every year the NFL has this team that is good, but just can't seem to get the win. But yet they're in every single game, and they play well in every game. And I think just Houston's injuries are going to hurt them here. And I like Carolina with the points.
Ah, fuck that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Carolina, too. Such a dick. What you got, Eric?
I got Houston. I already said that.
Oh, you already picked Houston. I don't know, dude. I lose track. Stan gets on the fucking banter. I don't even remember who I picked. Just fucking talks and talks. Jesus Christ.
It's good, though. It's all good, though. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. No. That's my daddy's. He's great. Next up is the Tennessee Titans taking on the Suck for Luck Indianapolis Colts. Listen, Tennessee is favored by 6.5 points, and yeah, I got Tennessee. I'm just going to put that on the board. Like, who gives a fuck about the Colts at this point? I drink younger, obviously, but other than that, like, if you don't live in the fucking state, who gives a shit? Who thinks that fucking guy is going to win a fucking game? Like, Tennessee is only favored by a fucking touchdown. Who the fuck thinks that shit is going to work? Like, I picked Indiana last week just like, oh, you're not going to lose more than fucking 2.5 touchdowns, are you? Oh, yeah, you are. Look at you. Jesus. What's your thoughts?
You know, Tennessee, you know, they have some injuries. Javon Ringer, running back, held out of practice. You know, quarterback Jake Locker, limited practice. Nate Washington, wide receiver. Did not practice. The only teams, you know, the only real injuries that the Colts have is, Peyton.
What?
I said the only real injuries that the Colts have is really, well, hey, Peyton.
Oh, it's really the only thing that fucking matters on their entire team forever. For the entire fucking stretch of their fucking past
I'm
going to
go
year.
With Tennessee. I'm going to go with Tennessee, though.
That's surprising. What do you got?
How did Peyton Manning make Freeney and Mathis so much better? That's the part I don't understand, is because that defense is terrible also. And
yeah,
Peyton Manning plays offense, yet their defense plays well.
And they're both hurt.
Keep putting up points.
They're both hurt, so.
Oh, that makes it even worse for them. So now they have absolutely zero chance, and I'm taking Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not a bad fucking pick.
They're in Annapolis, though. You know what I mean? You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
You could be on the fucking moon, and, you know, either way, Indianapolis is a horrible team. Sorry, Drake. It's going to happen. Next up, we have the undefeated fucking overrated fucking Green Bay Packers against the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, they're favored by 13.5 points away. And I got Green Bay because they're on that roll, and why not pick them until they lose? But in the same token, nah, dude, you can't get on that shit. You cannot get on that shit. Like, look at what fucking New England was doing a couple years ago, and they were fucking undefeated. You see how shit ended up? That shit did not end up with a fucking title. That's what it is. And it really is. Like, their quarterback is superior. They have the best quarterback in the league, hands fucking down. Aaron Rodgers is fucking unbelievable. And he's got some weapons, and he's got some things, and they got some other things that are going on. But they fucking lost. They won their Giants game on a fluke. They had fucking pictures in the paper to say they didn't fucking win and all that stuff. And that may or may not have been valid. In the end, they're still undefeated. Comes right down to it. They're not the fucking strongest hands-down team in the league just because they won. I mean, they scraped out a victory against the Vikings. Like, you got to understand, like, there's a lot of hard-fought games they had with teams that weren't that good. They came out and wins, and a win is a win. If you win in the end, no matter who they are, that's fine. But come playoff time, anybody's game is anybody's game. And I don't think that they're just a team that just cannot ever be touched. They're so perfect on all angles. I don't feel that. I give them credit for everything they've done, for the fact that they haven't lost a game no matter what adversary came across them. But, dude, I don't know about all that shit. As soon as I start talking to some shit in California, I was like, what about Green Bay? What about Green Bay? Yeah, fuck you. The team that hasn't lost yet is probably more at risk than the team that knows the fuck they need to correct. So, go ahead.
So you got the Chiefs?
Huh?
No, you got the Chiefs.
I got Green Bay. Like I said, now I said that before I started talking shit. I said, yeah.
So you got Green Bay because they got things and things. So you got Green Bay because they got things and big things and better things than the other things in Kansas City. And
well, I'm just saying, they haven't lost yet. You might as well bet on a team that hasn't lost yet until they lose, and then you analyze it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, after all that was well said, Kansas City starting Kyle Orton, he blows, so I got Green Bay.
Okay.
You know, I gotta pick Green Bay, but Greg Jennings has been held out of practice
all week. Who the fuck is that?
For Green Bay. Greg Jennings.
Oh, okay. Wide receiver.
That's great.
Bombers go with Green Bay.
Next game up is the New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings. And the Saints are favored by 7.5 points. Who do y'all got?
New Orleans.
Yeah, I got New Orleans also.
Yep. You guys are dry as shit on that. I got New Orleans, but you know, I like beads and bees in the bitch ass and all that type of crazy shit. Is AP fucking playing this week?
They're not sure yet.
Are you sure, Stan?
I believe he's playing. I'm honestly not 100% sure.
He's a big game changer, and that actually, I think I would have fucking won on last week's game if he actually did play, but Jesus Christ. I had 8 wins last week. Y'all both had 6, just for the record. If Eric would actually completed the show and, like, his picks on the site included 6 wins, but on the show it was, like, 3.
Peterson is expected back.
Yeah, dude, he's a game changer, and he's going to change the fucking spread quite a bit. I'm picking New Orleans, but in the same token, believe me, he'll change shit. He'll change shit quite a bit, and he might make the game close, and I might lose this one, but I picked one. Next game up is the Washington Redskins against the New York Football Giants, and the Giants are here about 7.5. Yeah, I got.
Who you got, Stan? I hate the fucking Giants, but since I got a pick, the Giants are a better team than Washington, and as Antron Roll or one of them fucking quarterbacks said,
95 out of 100 times the Giants would beat the Redskins, and I have to believe that, so I got the Giants.
Yeah.
I got the Giants as well.
Yeah, me too. Shit, random talk. Who's the better Manning?
Who's the better Manning? This year?
Yeah. Well, no, overall.
This year I'm going to have to go with the elite one.
The elite one? Who's the elite one?
Eli.
Who's the one with
Eli.
The title?
Eli.
On
well, they both got the titles. They both got titles.
Yeah, but, I mean, more successful in the clutch and all of that stuff.
No, Peyton's better than his brother. That's
yeah, yeah. Of course.
I honestly would think that.
Yeah, that's hands
down. I would think that. But I don't know. He's not clutch in the playoffs. Like, that's probably the team that's built around him. It's not like that, but I don't know. Anyway, Cincinnati's up against the St. Louis fucking Rams, for Christ's sake.
Cincinnati's Sanders
sure.
Team.
Yeah, it is. Too bad for him. But Cincinnati's favored by 5.5 away. I'm going with Cincinnati because I go with the ginger quarterback over any color that they have in fucking St. Louis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cincinnati is got to get back rolling here. They're not a great team, but they're not this bad of a team, and St. Louis is terrible. I have the Sunday ticket, and I was flipping through games last week because my team played on Thursday. And, you know, I really didn't have anything I really wanted to watch. And I popped on the St. Louis game, and they were talking about they have, like, 4 players signed off the street in the last 5 weeks. Literally off the street. Like, I think they were holding signs, we'll play NFL football for food.
Fuck. St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis. They're just signing, like, you know, just people that used to play in the league and haven't played in 2-3 years, so... Come play with us. And they're starting.
That's weird.
That's they're that bad.
So why is T.O. still without a team? I'm sorry.
Because
somehow still doesn't work out for him when people are scouring the streets for bums that can catch a football. And somehow T.O. still doesn't have
a
team.
He's
a
team killer. That's the problem. He's a team killer.
Yeah.
So, I got Cincinnati. You?
Yeah,
Cincinnati.
Definitely.
Cincinnati as well.
Definitely, 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 definitely. Next game up, we have the Detroit Lions against the fucking Oakland Raiders. Fucking the Raiders. Well, no, Detroit is actually favored by 0.5 away. And that fucking Detroit won by a fucking face mask last week. They did not fucking deserve the fucking win. The fucking they were driving and all that shit. Well, Minnesota, right? Minnesota was driving and fucking. Oh man, they got in there. They fucking pulled the face mask at that point. Fucking dude dropped the fucking football the second he grabbed the face mask. The face mask wasn't fucking called when it was clearly the fucking deciding factor. Clearly, like,
clearly. What kind of pussy are you? What kind of pussy are you that you can't take that face mask?
I know you hate fucking penalties no matter what happens. You're just like, fucking kick him in the face. That's a sack. Like, no, it's not. Like, you're retarded. But, no, he fucking crunch time, he fucking grabbed him by the face mask, and as soon as he grabbed the face mask and twisted, he dropped the ball. And then they fell on it, game over. Like, seriously, like, he was right in the fucking red zone. That shit could have fucking worked out.
And I don't. It might have not. But the fact that the game ended, the fact that he grabbed the fucking face mask, I think that was a terrible thing.
I think it's terrible. Also, I still, and it's not about me not liking penalties or anything like that.
I hate penalties. You don't.
I do hate penalties.
No one pisses on another guy's face during a fucking.
That's a little.
You're
over
like,
the line.
Well, you know, rough trade. Let's go.
No, that's a little over the line. The pissing on
every game,
definitely over the line.
Look, Cox, so what? I'm fine.
Yeah, but you grab the face mask and it makes you fumble. I don't know. Like,
Wear a fucking hat and let me grab you by the jaw of that hat and spin you around right quick with something in your hands. You might drop it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of.
Hold on to the rock and stop being a little girl. Bite his finger.
Little girl. He's a girl now because someone grabbed his fucking jaw and spun it around. Jesus. You're fucking silly. I don't know, man. It's just my view on it. I think the fucking game was lost on a goddamn. Anyway.
I got the Raiders.
I got Detroit.
The fucking face mask him too. Be open. They seen that shit. Fucking believe me, their fucking legacy depends on that type of shit. And yeah, they'll fucking spin his ass around. I still pick Detroit.
Okay.
I just lost my fucking pen. Eric, what do you got?
I got Detroit.
There you do. Jesus Christ, I can't write this bullshit, man. I need to find a pen. This is awesome. This is good pod. Good pod. This is what they call this for fucking slang. Anyway, next fucking matchup is the Cleveland Browns, and I am proud to be against the Arizona Cardinals at 6.5 points. The Cardinals are favored by 6.5 points against the Cleveland Browns, and I'm gonna go with the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not gonna sing it, but I'm gonna go with the Arizona Cardinals. They're hot right now.
They don't have a show. What the fuck are they? They're my division. But they gotta lose.
Now I'm gonna go with Arizona. Just to
nice.
They're hot right now. They just beat Dallas and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, they're great.
I'm going with Arizona.
Look at you guys. Cleveland, bro. Next up, Jesus fucking God, help us, Jesus. Oh. Please don't help us, Jesus. Leave us alone, Jesus. For Christ's sake, we have the New England Patriots facing the Denver Tebows. And fucking New England is favored by 6.5 away. And, here we go.
Well, they had an interview with an exclusive interview in Daily News this morning. I think it was Daily News, maybe the Post, you know, one of them New York papers. With Tim Tebow, and I thought it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
players smack talk him, or what you, whatever you want to call it. He says when he gets mad, he'll tell him Jesus loves you, and when he gets really mad, he tells them that he's praying for them.
I hate him.
Which is just amazing to me.
I hate that guy.
You got some big NFL linemen that just sacked you, talking shit in your face, and you just look up and go, Jesus loves you. probably would irritate them even more.
Dan Chuck or Dino would say, you're a little too gay for me.
Probably would.
Richardson would say, hey, man, you got to man up. Rufo would be like, hey, man, you know, I mean, maybe you would like to, you know, make that shit a little more manly, you know, just make it a little bit more of a masculine touch to what you're doing. Yeah, I think it would work out. These are the people who have talked to him. I'm just saying, like, from an outside perspective, I've heard. I'm just saying what I heard.
But I actually am going to go with the Denver Tebows here to keep it close and lose by three.
I hope Tom Brady fucking pulls his hair out and fucking rapes him in the ass. And
okay.
Going Tom Brady all day. Fucking Dan Chocodino the shit out of motherfucking fag ass. I'm a celibate little Christian Bible bang faggot. I get all the fucking Facebook like hating on me. Like, oh, you're just a hater. You're just a hater. Tebow's the shit. Tebow's so good. You're just hating. And then like fucking last week, he pulled out a win with a fucking 50. Well, first off, a horrible fucking decision by Marion Barber to fucking not. To run out of bounds, to give another fucking chance to the other team. And then, on top of that, these motherfuckers hit a 57-yard field goal. Tim Tebow didn't kick a goddamn thing. However, the kicker kicked a 57-yard field goal to fucking allow them to give another chance. Yeah, Tim Tebow had a good fucking final drive. I'm not going to take that away from him. He did. But they hit a fucking... a 57-yard field goal, and then I think a 50-plus-yard field goal to win the fucking game after this motherfucker had a pretty good fucking drive that led to that. Like, dude, what the fuck, man? It's all Tebow. Oh, God, I can't even, I don't know how to contain myself because Tebow's such a quarterback. Like, go fuck yourself. Tom Brady's a fucking far better quarterback, and, I guess we'll see this week. Who knows, man? Who knows? I guess it's defense against that quarterback, so...
So keeping with the trend, you got the Broncos?
What?
So keeping with your trend tonight, you got the Broncos?
No, I got... I kind of went with... You got the fucking Broncos.
Oh, I got the Broncos. You got, Brady, huh?
No, I got Brady. Tim fucking Brady. Tim Brady? That's what I got. Tim Brady! Yeah.
Eric, who'd you went with, who'd you go with there, Eric?
Denver, I go with Denver.
Denver? There you go.
You're both cunts, dude. I'm telling you, man, Voodoo Dolls, it's over. Come Sunday. You motherfuckers are done. Jesus don't know shit about that.
Tebow's growing on me, I gotta say. I enjoy watching him play.
And I'm sorry, dude. You turned it gay. And, you know, you might criticize on different things that I'm doing and liking in wrestling, but I'm telling you, you're turning gay because Tebow's the biggest faggot in the NFL. And you're just like, well, I don't know. I didn't like him before. Something about him. And something twinkle in his eyes. Every time I see him on TV, he looks at the camera. It's next thing you know, it's just like, I kind of understand what he's saying. Like, something wrong with you, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Not looking in his eyes. He's like Medusa that turns people faggot instead of stone.
I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you.
So there you go. You're a faggot. So next thing you go, we got the New York Jets against the Philadelphia Eagles. The AECB and Green match of the year. It ain't easy being green. Match of the year. You know what I mean?
Philadelphia,
got,
baby. Philly, baby.
Oh, that's so cute. Fucking Philly's favored by fucking 2.5 because they're home. And who cares? Who fucking cares? Other than you and anyone who's a Jets fan. And, yeah.
This is a matchup of two fan bases that just like to spell shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. J-E-T-S-E-A-G-L-E-S. Like, yeah, you both fucking failed out of high school, and now you're fucking really happy about spelling a word. That means nothing. It never amounts to anything. That's great. It's like, you know.
All right, I'm going with Fireman Ed.
You're going with the Jets?
Yeah, I got the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going with Philly. Because who fucking cares? They're just, you know, Vic is back. He's going to kill a puppy or two, and I don't know. They might have a fire hat on. I don't know. Either way, they're all losers. So but I think the Philly will win a couple they'll win a couple games to close out the season, but I really don't think they're fucking viable anywhere near the playoffs. Neither are the fucking Jets, and I couldn't be happier. I wish all these green teams would just die of fucking Rick and Morty. Or gangrene. Gangrene, there you go. You guys.
There you
gangrene,
go.
Gangrene, let's go. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like a deadly thing, so live with that. Next up, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens against the San Diego Chargers. Fucking Baltimore is favored by 2.5 points, and I got Baltimore.
Going with Jay on this one. Well, Baltimore as well.
I got San Diego here because Baltimore's got to go across
the
country.
You just hate Baltimore.
I do hate Baltimore. But San Diego's on one of their fourth quarter of the season streaks here, and they're playing good. They're winning, and they have a shot for the playoffs still. And I hate Baltimore, so I'm going to go with San Diego.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know who's up next? I mean, I'm just random like type of thing.
San Francisco.
Well. This is me versus my buddy Stan, and Monday Night Fucking Football. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers right up against
San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't think Tony Bennett ever sung about that city, but it's all good, you know. They're a tough team, and what can you do? Yeah.
Well,
but
once again, your buddy Roger Goodell. Helped you guys out.
My buddy.
With just an atrocious suspension for a clean hit that the quarterback decided to duck his head. And I turned my
Well, yeah, let's segue to that before we go into the game. I thought you had a message for the owner of the NFL. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, he's not the owner. He's commissioner. But
whatever.
First off, I don't know if you've seen on my Facebook page, you actually could call the NFL. There is a phone number. 212-450-2000 for anybody
else. Wants
to call and voice their complaint on suspending a player for a hit that should have been legal until the quarterback did scream like a little girl and duck his head, close his eyes, and caught a little bit of the top of the helmet to his chin, just a little bit. Somehow that
well, this
is going to
hit them, but go ahead.
Somehow that warrants a game suspension. I don't understand how. I don't understand where. Obviously, Roger Goodell has something against the Steelers as he's changed rules.
Aww.
He's changed rules twice now to basically hurt the Steelers. There's something.
You guys are sounding silly right now. Go ahead.
What happened?
So you're sounding silly right now, but go ahead. They keep changing the rules to hurt the Steelers.
They changed the receivers blocking.
They were like, you can't fuck chicks under 18. And Ben decided no. And then they fucking Steelers, you know. It's all about us.
Well,
they just wanted to fuck the owner's daughter and just bullshit.
I don't understand the suspension. I will not understand the suspension. These hits happen every week. There is absolutely no reason to suspend a premium player for a game for a hit. To me, Goodell made another mistake. He's taking everything out of the NFL. As Mean Joe Green once said, put the quarterbacks in skirts so you can distinguish the quarterbacks from the real players. Let them play. Let them be hit. My quarterback gets hit. I don't know. Looked like he snapped his fucking shin in half and yet somehow played the whole second quarter. Second half. I don't know. I don't see what the problem is. Let him be hit. Let him play the game. Let's see who the tougher team is. And, now we go into San Francisco, a fairly good team, although I don't know what the hell happened last week. I don't know what happened last week with them. I mean,
I don't know either, man. We fucked up.
Yeah, you lost to Arizona.
San Fran too.
It's all good.
You're going with San Fran.
already in the playoffs.
But I think San Francisco is going to get a wake up call. I think
we already had that. Not by you guys.
By Baltimore. I think you're going to get a second one. I think you're going to get smashed around a little bit. I think it's going to be a brutally physical game, which is great. And
that works out in our favor, I think. Your quarterback just fucking got crackers for fucking knees at this point. And, I don't think so, dude. I think we got a lot more to fucking offer at this point. And I think you're going to be really fucking surprised on what... I mean, you've been predicting this from fucking early in the season, and everybody says, Pittsburgh, they're going to put San Francisco away. I don't think it's going to be that easy. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Like you said, it's going to be a physical display, but like for us to be awakened by you guys, that's retarded, because we've already been awakened by the fucking Ravens. We've been awakened by a guy in our division. There's no more awakening going on. It's just us for our value for what we're going to do from this point out. And, you know, you guys are a huge challenge, a huge fucking step in our progression towards the playoffs. We're already in there. You know, not like you guys, but we're already in there. And either way, I think that this is a huge fucking challenge.
It's funny you said not like us, because we got the same record. So if we just switched divisions, we'd already be in
there. It's sad. I know your division doesn't allow you to be in there. It's too bad. But it doesn't matter, dude. But like I'm saying, like, this is going to be a huge game. It's going to be banging out football. I think it's going to be a great game. We may or may not win. But as far as us waking up and you teaching us a lesson or any of that bullshit, fuck that. Fucking Pat Willis is better than most of the motherfuckers in the league as far as what his game is. And as long as he's playing, because, you know, he sat out last week. But he's tremendous. Fucking, we got a better tight end than you got. You know, you got a better quarterback than we got. But we got a better tight end. We got a better running back. We got a better, you know, a bunch of different things. And there's plus and minuses on both sides of the field, and we're both contenders. And you know, my only thing is just us being treated like a contender, not like, oh, okay, you guys did pretty good. Wait till you meet with us, and you're gonna meet a real motherfucker. Like, Jesus Christ, we have our weapons. We got to this point for a certain reason, and Jesus, let's square off.
I think it's gonna be a good game. It's a 3-point game. I take the Steelers just to get the extra, to get the 3 points. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think it's going to be a carbon copy of that Baltimore game. You know, maybe a little more scoring, just because of the way both teams play. I don't think the Steelers, I think the Ravens went into that game and the 49ers went into that game, brother versus brother, national TV, that whole thing.
Nah.
Playing a little bit of the feel-out process of, you know, I don't want to be the first one to mess up and give up points. I think that's why that was a 9-6 game. But I wouldn't be shocked by a 17-14 type game.
One by
San Francisco.
Well, good luck to you guys. Again.
By all means. Yeah, definitely.
212-450-2000. To try to get the NFL back to what it's supposed to be, so you don't have to deal with maybe having Patrick Willis accidentally tackle a quarterback too hard. Another great sound clip or sound bite from James Harrison was in the Super Bowl when he said that he was going to lay a pillow down so that when he tackles the quarterback, he'll do it nice and softly so that he doesn't get any fines or suspensions. It's just a complete disgrace watching the NFL fine somebody or suspend somebody for you know, tackling somebody a little too hard.
The more you know.
What was that?
The more you know. That was the music for the more you know.
I got you. So that's what I got. I got the Steelers 17-14.
Okay. Who do you got, Eric, for Christ's sake?
49ers.
There you go. That's fine, dude. All right, there's that one there. I guess we're going to have to wrap this show up. That is the NFL for sure. And it is what it is, you know. And I thought we did a fucking great show tonight. Everybody checking this out, fucking by all means, fucking tell your fucking friends, motherfucker. I mean, if you didn't, go tell your friends this.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You know, that's probably the appropriate thing to tell your friends anyway. That's the best thing. You know, keeps you honest. But, I think I got to give my shout-outs and this and that. So I think at this point I'm going to give Stan big, huge fucking thank you for coming on.
No problem.
And, yeah, man. Good having you on.
Yeah. Good time again. Always
yeah.
Good.
Sure, we'll check you next week or whatever. And
thank you guys for having me. Good night.
Holla, homie.
Good night.
Okay.
I'll get at you. Sure. And then, Eric, you know, we've been doing our thing and this and that. You got to go back and listen to the interview you missed and all that stuff, and I think it was pretty good. I got to give a shout-out to my boys at the Wrestling Soup, my boy over there at the Real Side of Wrestling, John Gray. He did an interview with Serenity this past week, and the House of Truth guy, Truth Martini.
Okay.
And he did two interviews this week, and I really don't know shit about Serenity, but she came off as a really good guest, and he really exposed her and helped people learn about her, because I didn't know shit about her until I heard on that show. So a big shout out to him. He continues to do his thing, realsideofwrestling.com. And, big shout-out to every fucking buddy we put over there on the motherfucking these awards as far as CCW and shit like that. I ain't got no plaques. I ain't got no trophy for you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? But as far as accolades go, shit, why not? You know what I mean, I've been around for a minute. Fuck it. I'll give you my nod. So that's what I got. What else? I got the plug. I don't even know. Next week, shit, this is going to be our fucking Christmas episode, and I plan to, I will surprise you guys, like Santa Claus, with a really good guest, and I feel like I'm going to give people something special for Christmas on Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm not going to promote it. I'm not going to get fucking real deep on it. I'm just going to fucking put it on you motherfuckers. And then I think it'll be worth it. I think people will understand. And the next thing you know, they'll be like, wow, shit. Merry Christmas. So that's what it is. And Eric, you got anything else to
add? I know who we're having on next week. We're having on fucking Santa Claus. I thought, oh, shit, I fucking spoiled it. God damn it.
Right. You got anything else to add before we go up there?
Nah, man, it was good. Good as always to be on, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, so for my dude fucking Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Mars. You check us motherfuckers out next week, fucking Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, because that's where the fuck we live. Peace. Hold on, Jesus Christ. I'm not even ready for a fucking outro. See, I just say shit because I used to just say shit and just fucking fade off. But now I have to actually play shit, and that's my fault. I fuck up. You know what I mean? So, yes, anyway, J. Cat Morris is still hanging out. So funny. Fucking
keep it up.